about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Dim the lights. Here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
And now,
baby, that's what's up. That's how you do it. Yo,
our feature presentation.
I wish everyone sung like Wing. Oh, she's so sweet.
Is that the best way to start a new week or what?
It really is. You just listen to it and you go, what's happening in the world? How does anybody think that sounds good?
And not I think it sounds good.
And but in a bad way.
In an awesome way.
Right. In an awesome bad way.
Why wasn't Wing at Coachella, by the way? You can take your Arcade Fire and your Kanye, you can stuff it until you start putting good music like Wing on the festival, right?
There was enough artsy-fartsy stuff there, people would have taken it seriously and gone, wow, she's a real artist.
Did you see anyone who, every once in a while, when you go to Coachella, you see something that you can't believe is real because it's so bad. Was there anything like that this year for you?
I don't think so. Not this year, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody was at the very least competent.
Right.
But it was a ton of fun.
Well, we have a lot to talk about with Coachella. There are a lot of amazing things that happened, and by all accounts, by the way, one of the best festivals ever. I guess they super tightened security, and there were a lot fewer people there because it was a lot harder to break in. Although I do want to hear from Dave later. I guess he physically saw somebody get smuggled in.
Wow.
In a backpack.
What?
Yeah, that's what Dave tweeted last night anyway. I'm dying to hear about that.
A human being in a backpack?
Yes.
That's a big backpack.
That's what he said, or a little person. I don't know. I haven't heard yet.
What do you have in a backpack? Midget. All right, come on in.
Right, exactly.
That's weird.
Anyway, we'll be talking about Coachella today. But first, this is very rare. You know how oftentimes at this part of the show, I'll give you an interesting news story, and I'll say, wow, I sure hope we hear some follow-up on that. Well, we have follow-up on the story that we did Friday about the man who caught fire inside the adult video arcade.
We had many questions.
Yes, we have many questions. I don't know that we're going to answer all of them, but this sounds awfully reliable. I want to thank Brian Delaney for emailing. He's one of our San Francisco listeners. He works for Delaney Designs, and here's what he says. Hey, Beam, I've got some information on that adult video store fire that you were talking about on Friday morning. By the way, I should set it up by saying if you weren't listening Friday, it's as simple as it sounds. A guy went running out of a video, you know, peep show arcade type place on fire in San Francisco. We were trying to figure out, how does somebody catch fire? I mean, look, I get the friction part of being in those rooms, but I don't understand how you get enough going to get to catch yourself on fire, right?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
He had to have lit himself on fire is what we thought. All right, so here's what he says. You won't find this on any website or hear it on the news. I can tell you because I was there when it all went down.
What?
Yeah, I'm 23 years old. I'm from Southern California, but I'm finishing up my last year of college in San Francisco. I'm a graphic designer. I go to a big art school downtown. I have an office where I do all my design work that happens to be right across the street from the video store in question. It was Wednesday evening. I was in the middle of printing out some posters when I heard a lot of yelling and commotion out on the street. I figured rather than sit and watch the ink dry on my posters, I'd wander out and watch what sounded like was going to be an imminent beatdown about to happen. Brian's your guy.
I just want to see somebody get beat down. Let's go.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
I sat on the curb for what turned out to be a front row seat for the highlight of my week. Bean, I shouldn't have to tell you this because I know you lived in San Francisco, but 6th and Mission is not the nicest part of the city. It's known as a drug hotspot. I sat there. There was a lot of pushing and shoving taking place at the video store by people that were obviously in a altered state of mind. I don't know why he put that in quotes, because I think he actually meant they were in an altered state of mind. I don't think that's code for anything. At this point, I still thought it was a street brawl. It was only then that I started seeing the trucks and the ambulance. Excuse me. It was only then that I started seeing the smoke, and then they were trying to get to this one guy. Within seconds, cop cars started to roll up, followed by fire trucks and ambulances, and blocked the whole street. Being the nosy little boy I am, I began to ask officers what was going on. Off the record, of course, one of the cops said that a patron of the XXX store in question lit himself on fire while in one of the booths. After talking to another officer, what I was able to gather is that he actually fell asleep. The officers would not tell me exactly what he was smoking in there, but I bet my bottom dollar that homeboy fell asleep while smoking a joint and lit himself on fire.
Interesting.
By the way, not a great video selection if you can fall asleep in a porn place.
Yeah, that's odd, first of all.
Doesn't it seem like they're ought to be enough to keep your attention to, I don't know, even if you're not terribly aroused, you should at least be able to stay awake watching the video?
Well, you would think so, certainly. But also, what's he smoking that, and how did it catch on fire?
I don't know. I mean, it does make sense, and this never even occurred to me. This is why I'm glad Brian wrote. It does make sense that if you fall asleep, I mean, lots of people start fires by falling asleep.
Right.
You know, in bed or whatever. Maybe that makes more sense than setting himself on fire on purpose. It was an accidental lighting himself on fire, it looks like.
Wow, that's, either way is bizarre.
It is bizarre, yeah.
Either way, you just think through the details and you go, I don't understand how a guy, let's say you fall asleep and you're smoking a cigarette or weed or whatever, it falls in your lap. I don't know. I'm not flammable, am I?
I
was
I
this weekend,
so.
But I mean, not normally.
It was great fun to watch. I actually ran late to my 7 o'clock meeting, but it was worth it. On my way home from the office tonight, I just rode past the video store around 12:20 a.m. It was open and full of people like nothing ever happened. So there you go.
Love it.
So, so it was apparently, according to at least one police officer that Brian talked to, he did not set himself on fire on purpose. He just fell asleep to the worst porn in the world.
Wow, that's all bad. Bad porn and then bad ending, and then you're in a hospital and they go, hey, how'd you light yourself on fire? And you go, I don't know.
How'd you like to explain that to your wife or whoever comes to visit you in the hospital?
Oh, I'm guessing that person doesn't have anyone.
Yeah,
let's
maybe.
Be honest.
Maybe so.
Fall asleep in a porn shop. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Nothing else in my entire life would make me happier as long as I live.
What is he standing next to? Airliner?
He's at a party.
At a party, okay. A lot of noise in that. That's all I'm saying. Andrew Siciliano, our buddy, will be talking sports this weekend. Very excited.
A lot of sports to watch this weekend.
NBA, Lakers did really well. Really, really well. Played really well. Did well. Oh, wait. No, they didn't. They did pretty poorly. We got TMZ with Harvey Levin on today's program. We have Coachella recap. And there are always Coachella disasters because if you're making it a 3 or 4 day trip, things go wrong. And then you add, you know, booze. And things go
and
wrong.
Heat.
Even more. And then heat. Yeah, it was, what was it? Saturday night, it was like 7:30 at night and it was 97 degrees.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's too hot, right?
It's too hot, right?
I moved away from Phoenix for that reason right there.
Yeah.
We have a comedian Kevin Nealon on the program today. We have to figure out what's going on with Justin Bieber in Israel. Apparently he's tweeting and he's having a really hard time, and I find that very funny. Very excited about
that. He just
wants
to walk where Jesus walked.
That's what he wants.
That's all he wants to do.
And who could blame him for that?
Sure.
That's what we all want. Celebrity Apprentice, I did not see it last night. So,
oh.
Good.
It was all about the Busey.
Oh, love it. Love it. Can't wait. And we're going to move right from Coachella to Big Four. We've got your Big Four tickets today. So keep listening for your chance to win those. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz. Listening to the world famous K-Rock, and it is 10 minutes till 6.
You know how sometimes you say to us, Kevin, really, do I sound drunk? I don't feel like I sound drunk. Today's one of those days where you really sound drunk.
No, it's permanent. I really think it is. It's permanent.
Is it brain damage? Is that what it is?
I have no idea. I really don't. But there are a lot of times when I can hear it in my own slurred speech, and I go, what's happening? If I'm going to sound like this, I might as well be drinking.
Do you ever listen on your way in? Sometimes we'll replay something from the day before early in the show. Do you ever listen on the way in and go, who is that guy?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
You've learned a lesson to not listen to the program?
It hurts. It's painful.
What time did you get back from Coachella? You didn't stay till the very end like the King of Mexico.
I can't believe
it's still standing.
No, King of Mexico decided to stay for Kanye, which was last night late. And, you know, according to all reports, he stole the show. But, then Dave came back immediately here and fell asleep on the couch.
Right.
But I got back, yesterday afternoon or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You paced yourself. You're learning a lesson finally after all these Coachellas to pace yourself.
Sort of. If pacing myself involves falling asleep in my vehicle in the parking lot.
Did that happen?
Yes. If that's what you mean by pacing. First of all, I had the best parking that anyone could possibly have. And I don't say that as to brag or to be proud or anything, but I love that fact. It's right behind the main stage. But at one point on Saturday night, I walked for, I don't know, 20 miles. I think I was in, I was lost and I couldn't figure out where the lot was. Uh-huh. And I was walking the streets of Indio, and I ended up, I think, for a few minutes in Arizona. And
oh, my God.
It was unbelievable how long it took me to get to my car. Considering, had I gone right to my car from where I was, it was probably a one-minute walk.
Right.
So then I got there because I had a dead phone. I needed to call Dave and find out where the parties were. So I got there, and I plugged in my phone. And that was, I don't know, 1 a.m. or something. And then, 3:45, I woke up. I was like, whoa, what happened?
The one thing I did hear, even though I hear it was in some ways the best Coachella ever, is that when you have 80,000 people there, you're going to have parking lot problems getting out if you stay till the very end of any night. Yeah. And I did hear that there were reports of, you know, it's taking some people an hour and a half or something like that to get out of the parking lot just because of the sheer volume of cars. But well worth it, apparently, for the day ahead.
Absolutely. But mine wasn't because there were a lot of cars. Mine was because I fell asleep in the car. And then I finally was going to text Dave because my phone was dead. I was going to text Dave, and I had never plugged it in. So I was just like, oh, forget it.
So it was win-win. Who's the nice young man in the leather jacket? Who's joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
That would be Ralph Garman.
Me, not wearing a leather jacket, but me nonetheless.
I just assumed, you know.
Ralph, you know, when you don't have to actually go to work, you're going to miss a few details, I guess.
How
Who's
are you,
Ralph? Who's the black man? Who's the black man sitting behind the microphone?
That's me.
Just take a guess.
Oh, yeah. How are you? How was the vacation?
It was good.
Excellent.
Too short. Came back and nothing's working, so that's always pleasant on your first day back at work.
But you expected
you
that,
can't,
I
can't
hope.
Print anything off your computer. Everything's all honked up. It's like someone took a sledgehammer to my office there, but in between the time
I don't know,
left and when I came back.
I don't know why we can't learn this lesson, but we do walk in every day expecting stuff to work, and it never, ever does.
I was thinking of leaving a note pinned to my computer before I left saying, don't F this up.
Right.
But I said, that's ridiculous. No one will be using it, I'm sure, while I'm gone. And I came back, and now it's just all it plays is Angry Birds, and there's all kinds of gay porn on it and stuff. I don't know what was going on last week, but it wasn't good.
Dave sat there a lot of the week.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not my fault. It's like, Dave, I can't print off my computer. Oh, that's not good.
Really?
Isn't it? Thank you for all your help. This thing. Best part of Dave was left in the valley at some point over the weekend. That's all I'm guessing. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. As it is Monday morning, we take a look at the hot movies that are at the box office over the weekend. Rio was the number one hit. Oh, people can't get enough about parrots. That's what the secret is. Put a parrot in your movie, and you'll make $40 million.
It made $40 million?
That's what Rio made this weekend in its debut. Right behind that was, well, not right behind it, but in second place was Scream 4. Made about $19 million. Hop, another animated feature film, was third at the box office with a little over $11 million. Then Soul Surfer, Hannah, Arthur, Insidious, Source Code, The Conspirator, the new Robert Redford movie about the Abraham Lincoln assassination. Finally, they're getting around to digging into that.
Yeah.
Seeing what that's all about, because I still have unanswered questions. Did Booth work alone? Did Mary Todd have something to do with it? Was she having an affair?
What was the rush there?
And what about the slaves? I don't know how they played a role, but just what about the slaves?
That's a good question.
And Your Highness, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kevin?
Yes?
I was expecting you to have a Nicolas Cage weekend while you were at Coachella.
How dare you?
Fail!
Nicolas Cage arrested early Saturday morning in Louisiana, in New Orleans, apparently. He had an argument with his wife, Alice, early Saturday morning, drunk off his ass outside a local tattoo parlor.
Sweet.
That's a good combination right
Perfect.
There. Arguing with the wife, overserved at a local tattoo parlor, called a cab to take them back to where they were living because he couldn't figure out where he lived anymore.
Oh, how dare
that
you.
That is Kevin drunk right
how
there.
Dare you.
He should have just fallen asleep in his vehicle. The cab driver witnessed the argument, called the police. Cops showed up, and they said, look, after all, this is New Orleans. They said, why don't you just go home, sir? You're obviously had one too many hurricanes. You and your wife are having a bit of a heated argument. Why don't you just go home? And Nick apparently responded, why don't you just arrest me? And they said, oh, okay, Mr. Cage, you're very cute. Why don't you just go home? To which he repeated, no, why don't you just arrest me? And so...
why was he insisting on being arrested?
I don't know, but they fulfilled his wish.
Wow, what an idiot.
They took him in, and luckily a good friend came to his rescue and bailed him out. Dwayne Dog the Bounty Hunter Chapman.
I thought the bounty hunter was supposed to put people in jail. Yes. Not get them out.
Now, does this mean that Nicolas Cage called the dog, or did the dog hear about it on the news and run down and bust him out?
I don't know. The dog lives in Hawaii.
Right. So it's an 8-hour trip. 9-hour trip.
Or dog was in town, or maybe Nick and the dog were vacationing together.
Maybe. Oh,
I saw Nick and the dog at Coachella.
Were they good? Yeah.
And by the way, why does Nicolas Cage, despite his money problems, why does he need anyone to bail him out? It seems like whatever the bail would be, he could put on his Black American Express card, doesn't it?
Maybe his wife Alice wasn't that interested in getting him out of jail
that
anytime
could be.
Soon.
Well, maybe.
I'm just glad Kal-El wasn't around. His son Kal-El from the planet Krypton. Kal-El was not there. It was just the wife. So
Look, it's a domestic violence charge, which isn't funny. But the account that I heard, Ralph, and tell me if this is backed up by what you've read, is that they were standing on a street arguing about which house it was. And he said, we own this house over here. And she said, no, we own this house over here. And he pulled her by the arm to try to get her to come to his house.
Right.
That's what I heard happen. He didn't hit her or anything like that.
No.
He was just pulling her down the street to go to the, because they didn't know which house they owned.
Yeah, there was physical contact. And the cab driver was the one who sort of panicked and called the police. So it wasn't as if Alice called and said, help me, my husband roughed me up.
How does that fight ever happen? Why doesn't one of them just go up and try it?
What's the...
No, we own that one. Okay, well,
try both.
Yes, or
the worst thing can happen. A drunk Nicolas Cage rings on your doorbell early Saturday morning and you got a story to tell. Or you live there.
That's crazy.
You go in and you lay down.
That's crazy.
Kevin, have you ever driven around your neighborhood not remembering where your house is? No?
I bet Kevin's driven around New Orleans not knowing where he is, though. I'll tell you that much.
That has happened many times.
Yeah. Guys, I'm guessing you talked last week about the fact that the Jersey Shore cast is now getting $100,000 per episode for the next season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's more good news, at least for one member of the cast. DJ Pauly D is close to landing a record contract. Woo! Finally, we get to hear the magic of Pauly D. This is the most disturbing part of the story to me personally. Well, first, the most disturbing part was the enormous lateness of that soundbite. That was very disappointing. And now to find out that 50 Cent is the guy who wants to sign Pauly D to his label.
That
wants to put him on G-Unit.
That doesn't make any sense.
It does not on any level. He wants a 3-album deal for Pauly D. That's what he's telling TMZ.com. And they're also discussing a merchandise line, including signature Pauly D headphones.
Yeah.
I will not go on with this job until we get Pauly D headphones in the studio. Yes. I'm going to put that in my next contract. I'm insisting. Instead of $100,000 an episode, I want Pauly D headphones.
Wow.
I will not be denied. Today's celebrity birthdays, James Woods. Talented actor. Also, I believe he is the head of the middle school in Quahog, Rhode Island, on Family Guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
James Woods Middle School. Rick Moranis from one of Kevin's favorite movies, Ghostbusters, and also SCTV. He's 58. Eric Roberts, my co-star from Sharktopus.
Yeah, Eric.
Celebrates his 55th birthday. Talk show host Conan O'Brien is 48. Eric McCormick, who's on Will and Grace for many seasons, is 48. Maria Bello, smoking hot actress, is 44. Director and sometime actor Eli Roth is 39. Melissa Joan Hart. Wasn't she Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
I think she was.
I think she was, too. She's 35.
Might deserve a bell, right?
Yeah. America Ferrera, Ugly Betty, 27 years old today. And Suri Cruz, the daughter of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, celebrates her 5th birthday today.
Poor girl.
Still working on the pacifier, by the way. I don't know if anyone has any contacts to any sort of child development specialist or a psychologist or a doctor, but maybe you want to pass along to Tom.
Any age below 10, I think it's fine.
Take that pacifier.
Not that we're telling you how to parent,
no,
Tom.
No, but I'm just saying, some vitamins and exercise might do her well.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, and it is 7 minutes after 6.
Somebody's drunk. Somebody's drunk.
Little 7 after 6. This will be good. Have fun now.
Maybe you should retime your alcohol consumption and start drinking during the show, because you don't sound like this when you're actually drinking.
Yeah.
And then sobering up after the show every day.
The problem with chronic alcoholics, with the hardcore drunks, is their normal state is impaired, and they only seem functional sometimes when they are drinking. So, you know, the guys who get up and they have to have a beer with breakfast or something just to get back to an even plateau, just to function.
Right. Who are we talking about?
Kevin may have reached that critical state.
What are you guys talking about?
I'm Kevin, talking about Ninoga Sungood.
Kevin goes to Arthur, the movie, and goes, there's nothing wrong with that dude. What's the big deal?
Boring.
All right, Ralph, I'm so glad you're here. We desperately missed you last week, not just for the Showbiz Report, but because, we had a bunch of interesting shows last week, a lot of great guests. But we had one guy on in particular that when we hung up on the phone with him on Friday, we thought, oh, I wish Ralph were here because Ralph would hate this guy so much and it would be so entertaining to watch you flip out on him.
What was the situation?
The situation
wasn't the situation,
oh,
first of
Gilligan.
All.
The situation was, and every once in a while on this program, we all have interests maybe that the whole room doesn't share, but we get a break here and there to talk about something that we're into. You know, right. Ralph, you might be talking about some old movie that you love. Kevin might be talking about soccer.
Right.
But for me, it was Record Store Day. Record Store Day was this weekend, and that's a huge deal for people like me who go to record stores, and I know there aren't many of us left. So I pitched you
the
guy.
Is that the one day a year they actually open a record store so people can shop there? Is that why it's called Record Store Day?
Somebody tweeted over the weekend, hey, it's Record Store Day. Go down to where yours used to be and buy a Jamba Juice. So anyway, Record Store Day is this weekend, and it's a celebration of independent record stores, and there's tons of new releases that come out specific for those days in limited editions. Like the Foo Fighters put out a new album on Saturday that's only available on vinyl. It's only available through independent record stores, and it's a collection of all of their cover songs, plus a couple of new cover songs they've never released before. That's a type of item that draws you into the record store, and the point is to point out these stores are still alive and you should still shop there.
Yeah, I wait for eBay Day and then I get those things.
Right.
It's a different holiday I celebrate.
So producer Alex lined up one of the co-founders of Record Store Day to come on with us for a few minutes on Friday to promote the event that was happening on Saturday, which I think, I appreciate what they're doing. I would hope that they would appreciate that we're giving them this platform, this opportunity, probably the biggest show that they're going to be on this year to promote their event, right? Right.
Dude, they're hipsters.
Right, they're hipsters.
What don't you get about that?
Kevin, you want to pick it up from here?
Yeah, absolutely. Bean starts off by asking the guy to explain it to people if they're not clear on what Record Store Day is,
right.
Which this guy cannot fathom. He doesn't understand the concept that not everyone...
Someone might not know the international holiday of Record Store Day.
Most people right. listening have probably no idea that Record Store Day even exists. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, wow. There's a lot to cover for people that haven't heard of it. Open up a blog.
Asses. Yeah. Open up a blog.
Open up a blog.
Open up a Starbucks so you can make a living, record store asshole.
So already, if you don't know what his little world is all about, then it's your fault. You're to blame.
Wow, a lot to cover. Not really. It's Record Store Day. It's the day we celebrate the few remaining record stores that are left in America.
That's it. That's all
it is.
Yeah.
Come on down and buy something, please.
But he really...
So I can get another piercing.
He was offended. He was offended that B would suggest that anyone might not know
wow.
about Record
Store. Wow. They don't know? Jeez.
Open up a blog.
Yeah.
So that happened, and then he's talking about the few remaining stores that are still out there, including his own.
You know, there were so many stores that were awesome, if I may. My own store in Atlanta, Georgia, Criminal Records, I would hopefully want it to be on that list.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
If I may say, mine was one of the best.
People travel from around the world to go to Atlanta to buy their records. It is awesome.
He's so awesome that he closed down.
This place isn't open anymore?
No, his is gone.
This That's guy sweet. Is the problem with indie hipsters. It's this attitude of, I'm so much superior to everyone else.
And the less popular and the more obscure something is, the cooler automatically it is. And if you have closed your record store, you no longer get to be the spokesperson for Record Store Day, by the way. Go celebrate whatever it is you're doing now, hipster.
So why are they doing Record Store Day?
The core good indie record stores, and there's a bunch of us, everything's cool. And the point of our party was, you're missing a party.
Yeah, the party is no longer.
The message is everything's cool. The point of the party was you're missing the party.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So now Bean brings up that Metallica played the first Record Store Day, I believe, in San Francisco.
Rasputin's right.
Okay. And this guy, it's okay that Bean brought it up, but he's a little annoyed that Bean was not up on what he did at his store on that day.
Oh.
Because Metallica was like, that was ground zero, I guess, for Record Store Day.
Sure.
That was also a simultaneous Record Store Day at all these other stores. You know, at that moment, I had Janelle Monae doing her third in-store at my own store. You know, the first year, we had about 8 months lead. It was just a bunch of record store goofballs sitting around a table, and we said, hey, let's have Record Store Day. 8 months later, we did. And, you know, it was, well, I wasn't able to be there to say hi to Metallica at Rasputin's, but I threw a good party here.
I had a good party here.
Oh.
Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe. How did you land her?
Was doing her third in-store, my store.
Good thing you had 8 months to land Janelle Monáe. Because I'm sure her schedule was just booked with coffee houses and other poetry jams that you had to be at. F you.
I tried.
So I wasn't able to go to Metallica.
Whatever.
Ass.
But I had Janelle Monáe for my third in-store. Wow, what an a-hole this guy is. Bean, where was he? Was he Atlanta?
Yes.
Is that where he was talking to us from?
I guess. I don't know what dry cleaner he's working for now, but yeah, he was in Atlanta.
He was not the best spokesperson for the holiday.
Do you find that Record Store Day, with the publicity that it gets, does it bring maybe people kind of back to the fold of getting into the habit again of walking the aisles and just browsing and shopping the way they used to?
Now, here's what I like about this particular thing is that Bean never, ever, ever helps people along and tries to get them to sell the event.
Bean gave him his answer already. All the guy has to say is yes.
In every question.
The only thing he had to do.
Bean really is passionate about Record Store Day. So Bean wanted it to go well. So he was just lobbing softballs, and this guy would not have it. He just wouldn't have it. It was just crazy.
You know, there is what the industry calls a halo effect.
There is what the industry calls a halo effect.
The week before and the weeks after are actually really good for indie retail. A lot of people can't make it out on Saturday, so they fill, their shopping cart during the week. But really, it's a reminder, and forgive me if I get a little hoity-toity here.
All right, listen.
Oh, now you know you're in trouble.
You used the words hoity-toity. That's bad, right?
Yeah.
No one should use the word.
And nothing following that phrase can be
ever
good.
Ever is any good.
No.
It's a reminder for us to shop local. That's the whole point.
All right, now, this is where he goes on a little rant about how
we're not going to think globally here, are we, and shop locally?
I'm afraid so.
Yes, we are, because of the tax benefits of these stores that aren't making any money anymore.
You know, Amazon is cool every now and again, so is iTunes, but those companies don't put taxes into your cities. You know, they don't, iTunes isn't going to sponsor your Little League team. So that's the important message, you know, like you don't have to buy everything locally, but buy some things locally because your city needs the tax revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So buy locally.
Because my city needs the tax revenue.
Yeah.
So I can't go on iTunes or Amazon anymore because the city needs a...
Here's the thing. You work for a dying industry. You need to recognize you need to move on.
Find a new store that brings tax revenues into the city, that provides a product and service that people actually want and actually want to go to.
Look, you can drive your car all you want, but every once in a while you should get out a horse and you should ride your horse because there are a lot of people making horseshoes these days that need the work.
This guy's not driving a milk wagon or he's opening a butcher shop someplace.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll do it again next year, Eric.
Please. Thank you.
Oh, bye-bye, sir.
By the way, we're not doing it next
Never
year.
Never doing it again.
You lied to your guest at the end of that interview.
We might. I mean, we might do it, but not with him. Not with him. This is a douchebag of the highest order, and he's part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Well, it'll be easier next year because we'll find the one guy who still has a record store, and we'll talk to him on Record Store Day.
Open up a blog.
Yeah.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 6.
And
the Los Angeles Kings. That's what you're trying to get me to say, isn't it? Los Angeles Kings 1-1. Come on now, San Jose. Come on.
Finally feeling better about that, are you?
Yes, finally.
It's good to win one. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show now. It is 6:25. It is Monday. We got tickets for the Big Four coming up, including Metallica and Anthrax and Slayer and Megadeth. That is the next concert on our radar now that Coachella is behind us. We'll give you a chance to win those on the way. Speaking of musical entertainers, Justin Bieber back in the news. He, I guess, is doing some shows in the Middle East, and he has been doing nothing but bitching and moaning ever since he got to Israel because, Kevin, don't you know, the paparazzi won't leave him alone.
Well, I can see that. I mean, I could see that the paparazzi wouldn't leave him alone, but he's got to kind of know that comes with the territory now, right?
It certainly has been his life for the last couple of years. I understand the frustration, but we wanted to find out some more details about what's going on with the Biebs, and he joins us on the phone, I think, from Israel now. Justin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How's it going, eh?
It's going well. It's going fine. What's going on in the Holy Land?
I'm glad to hear you talk hockey, by the way. That's great, because not enough Americans love hockey the way we do, eh?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Sure. That's true. Who's your team, Justin? I've never heard you actually speak out for a specific club. Who do you like?
I'm a big Vancouver Canuck fan.
Are you?
As far as you know.
All right, Justin.
Where am I
listen.
From, by the way, in Canada?
Where are you from?
I thought you were from somewhere in the eastern Canada. Is what I thought.
That's right, Toronto.
You don't know, do you?
Love the
I don't.
Go Leafs.
You sure? You're sure you're not a Canadiens fan?
Yes, I like the Habs too. Go Habs.
Okay. Let's talk about what's going on in Israel. You've not had a great time trying to be a tourist there.
It's so hard, eh? I just want to walk where Jesus walked.
Yeah, that's
right.
The quote.
That's what you said. Yeah,
for His sake, and they won't let me do it, eh? What's that all about?
Well, I mean, you sell newspapers and you bring eyeballs
no, I
to
don't.
Blogs.
I record records.
No, no,
There's
no.
Another
I mean,
the guy in the corner sells newspapers. That's his job.
What I mean is pictures of you drive traffic to the web or buy, you know, people buy magazines because your picture's in it. You're big business, so I guess everywhere you go now, people are going to want to take photographs
but
of
I
you.
But I just want a spiritual retreat, eh? Because, look, look, I'm Justin Bieber, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And how many records did Jesus sell? Zero, as far as I know.
Well, I don't think he was a musical
I've
artist.
I've more hits than him, so I should be able to walk where he walked. And I want to have the full Jesus experience, you know? But, like, then they just get in my way. And I'm like, oh, what's this all about? And they say, well, sorry, Justin Bieber. Sorry, JB. You don't get to be JC.
Oh, wow. I see what you did there, yeah. Now, when you're talking about having the full Jesus experience, I don't know if you've read further in the book. But you got a bat.
I don't know much about the dude, quite frankly. I know he was like a big star back in the 50s or whatever that time is.
No, it was even before that, Justin,
and
believe
way
it or not.
Back in the olden times.
Right.
And
right.
So I want to, like, you know, if he can do it, I can do it, I'm thinking.
Okay.
Okay, he was God.
What?
I'm just saying.
That's bitching, dude.
There's a difference. But I'm saying you're not.
Well, let's not rush to judgment, eh?
I think it's safe to say you're...
Let's see what I can do first. I'm only 17, for his sake.
For his sake, right? Exactly.
But I'd like to have the full Jesus experience while I'm here in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
In what?
Israel.
Israel, right?
Now, you say potato, I say potato.
Right, that's the American pronunciation, I guess, is Israel.
And I'm like, oh, what was Jesus all about? And they said, well, here's a big cross. Why don't you get up on there? So that's later today. Apparently, that's the next thing. I'm going to, they're going to boost me up so I can see more of the landscape.
You might want to do a little
give
more.
Me a little higher vantage point, eh?
You might want to do a little more research into the how that ends.
And then I got to go live in a cave for 3 days. They're going to put a big rock in front of it. Uh-huh. And then I guess they said, good luck. I don't know what that means, but I guess, you know, I'm supposed to come out or something.
Actually, this is probably pretty good.
And then we're all going to hunt for eggs.
And then you got to hunt for eggs.
Yeah, then we all look for eggs.
Sounds like you got the whole thing figured out, Justin.
Not quite sure what that has to do with Jesus, but apparently a big rabbit came and saved him or something.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, that's later in the Bible. You just have to read for the... Well, I hope you have a great time out there in the Middle East. It sounds like you got a good start for that.
Oh, they don't play a lot of hockey here.
No, hockey's not big. Not a lot of ice going on in Jerusalem.
I'm
going
to start a hockey team.
You are?
Yeah, the Jerusalem Apostles. So I hope you'll come out here and see a couple games, Kevin, because I know you love hockey so much.
You know, I'll be there as soon as I can.
We got a big scrimmage against the Towheads later on today.
Oh, come on.
Not even a hockey team, just some guys with heads wrapped. I don't know what that means.
Okay. All right, Justin. Nice to chat with you.
I can't wait for mealtime when I can chow down on the decomposing corpse of a tortured animal.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Well, you know, I've always liked watching The View, nauseating. I mean, it's a show that, and I mean, to be working with these lovely co-host hookers, I mean, what's better than that?
I'm not a big fan of flying, you know, because you got people taking their shoes off because of the shoe bomber, right? And they're standing around their socks and their bare feet. And I'm thinking, why couldn't it have been the bra bomber? You know? I got a call from Playboy magazine, and they asked if I would review three adult films. And the first one, here's what I thought of. It was called Wanda Whips Wall Street, and this was starring Veronica Hart. Very attractive. I found myself interested right away. And then I got more interested, and then very interested, very, very interested, very interested, then suddenly no interest at all.
You know our next guest from Saturday Night Live and the hit show Weeds. Please welcome Kevin Nealon.
One of the best, Kevin Nealon, back on stage at the Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach, California, Tuesday night, April 19th. Well, that's tomorrow night, don't you know, at 8 o'clock. It's another benefit for his friend Big Joe, and Kevin Nealon joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Kev, what's up, dude?
Hey, Kevin Bean, how are you?
Good. What's going on? Always great to hear from you. Big Joe's not cured yet? Come on, what's going on?
I know it. You know, I put money in those counters, you know, like for people that are kids that are blind, and I must have put over $5 in them, and there's still no cure.
$5? Wow.
You've done more than your part then.
Where's that money going?
Exactly. That's what we're asking. This is not the first time Kevin has come on to talk about raising money for his very sick friend. Now, what did he have? He had some sort of skin cancer or something, right?
He has stage 4 squamous cell skin cancer. Yeah, it's metastasized. It's throughout his body. So, and unfortunately, this is a common problem with people that are going through cancer. It's trying to work and also, you know, get on with your life while you have the disease, and it's impossible at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, the bills just pile up like crazy. Now, I know that he is a writer. I need to know if he's done anything I like before I donate money to the cause.
Wow.
Well, let's see.
I'm going to donate because I like you, Kevin Nealon.
Exactly.
That's how
you know, he wrote Avatar and Titanic. And,
okay. All right. I'll send him a few bucks then. Friends of BigJoe.com is the website there if you want to get more information. But the best thing, the win-win for you is to just go to the Comedy Magic Club to see our friend Kevin Nealon on stage tomorrow night, and proceeds are going to benefit Big Joe. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Kev, since we have you on, I know you're a huge poker fan, as my Kevin is as well. I know you love the poker.
I love poker. It's my favorite show to watch on TV. That ESPN, the World Series, if I see that, no matter what I'm doing, I've got to stop everything.
Yeah, me too. Is that lame of us?
I don't think so.
All right.
I think it's better than watching a reality show, isn't it?
Yeah. It is crazy that you're watching guys play cards. But the reason I bring it up is I wondered if you had any thoughts about that huge federal crackdown on Friday where they closed down, I guess, 3 of the biggest online poker sites in the world you can no longer access in the United States. I mean, that is huge, huge news for people. There are millions of people who play that online poker. I was wondering if you ever do it online or if you're a strictly in-person guy.
I'm strictly in person because I heard that people can cheat on those things. You know, you could call a buddy and you can both get in the same game. So, but I used to play Hollywood Poker, which I thought was pretty good.
What's that? What's Hollywood Poker?
It's HollywoodPoker.com.
Oh, okay. All right. So you were playing one of the online ones, but then you got scared off when you heard the reports. Because there was that guy on 60 Minutes last season, remember, who had figured out some sort of mathematical formula that he was able to crack one of the sites too.
It was just he could see everyone's cards. So, I mean, really? Basically, yeah, so he knew exactly what was going on in every single game, and he knew how to bet. Now, I haven't heard the story, and it's very, very disturbing to me, Bean.
Well, apparently, there were 3 of the major ones. I know Full Tilt Poker was one. I don't remember what the names of the other 2 were.
Poker but Stars?
I think Poker Stars might have been one of them. Why, are these your sites, Kevin?
Yes!
Something Full Tilt or something?
Full Tilt, yeah.
They arrested a bunch of people. They're charging them with illegally operating gambling websites. And what they had been trying to do for years now, and the way they were able to kind of skirt our anti-gambling laws, which, by the way, are absurd, is that they've been operating off, you know, overseas. They've been in Costa Rica and places like that. But the government finally came in. And I think, don't you think, Kevin Nealon, it's just because the government's not getting their share of the tax revenue. That's why they don't care about gambling. They run lotteries. They just want the money, right?
It really does come down to the tax money. You know, that's how Al Capone got thrown in prison.
Yep, yeah. You're absolutely right. It's so crazy, so absurd, and I'm glad to hear that you're not frequenting those sites anymore, Kevin Nealon, because I just had this fear that you were just going to be weeping on the phone today because you weren't able to play all weekend long.
Well, I'm kind of glad they're going away because it's just one less thing to distract the air traffic controllers. You know?
You think they're playing while at work?
Probably.
Between naps, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin,
you know, maybe we'll find out that we don't really need air traffic controllers and planes could just land by themselves.
Well, I don't think that's likely to happen, but it is crazy. For folks who don't pay attention to the news, they've had 5 air traffic controllers found asleep on the job within the last 3 months.
Not only the air traffic controllers, but there's been a few instances of the pilots being asleep too and missing the airport.
Yeah, everybody needs more rest, that's all. They just need more rest.
There's too much internet action going on. People need to get more rest.
Now, Kevin, when is Weeds coming back?
Weeds will be back June 27th. It starts airing.
Oh,
we start
can't
taping May 4th, so we'll be just a few weeks ahead of the air date.
Do you miss it in the hiatus, or is it one of those jobs that you're so grateful to have the time off that you're not excited about going back to start working?
Well, I think a little bit of both. I like doing the show. I like working with everybody on there, but I hate traffic, and it's a drag to have to drive to work every day.
But they do at least film it, you know, in the same city where you live, though, right? It's not like you've got to go on location to Vancouver for 6 months or anything.
Yeah, what am I talking about? I'm lucky to have this job. I'm in traffic all day to get there.
You're employed.
But it's, Yeah, I know. And then some people work in factories or they're unemployed. And what am I complaining about? I'm not complaining. I'm very happy. I'm very lucky.
Sort of a baby, I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. But that's coming back on. That'll be the seventh season. And it's I met with the writers, and they told me what's going to be happening this year, and it's very exciting.
What is it? Recap.
Well, let me just tell you the whole season.
I will tell you that Weeds, we're almost out of time with our friend Kevin Nealon here on The Kevin Bean Show. Weeds is one of those shows that every year when it ends, I go, there's no way they're going to be able to top this season. How are they going to figure out a new way to get all of these people somewhere in so much trouble that you can't wait to see what happens next? But, man, your writers are great. They really do an amazing job on that show.
They really are. They really are. And they don't even smoke pot.
Yeah, that's not right, right?
Yeah,
you can't write seven seasons of a show if you're smoking pot. Let's be honest.
That's true. And, you know, actually what we're smoking on a show is the Honey Rose Herb, which we get from the Honey Rose Herb Cartel in Colombia.
That's great.
How about that? Who knew?
Good news.
Kevin Nealon, one of the best, terrific actor, and one of the best stand-ups we've ever seen. Kevin played our April Fool's just a couple of years ago and just slayed us. Friends of Big Joe Benefit is going to be happening tomorrow night. Please go see Mr. Nealon at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, California. For more information about his friend Joe Kenny, please go to friendsofbigjoe.com and, of course, kevinnealon.com for Kev himself. Hey, man, thanks a lot for coming on. Have a great time tomorrow night.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin and Bean.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:54.
Did you get up on stage with your banjo and play with Mumford & Sons this
you
weekend?
You know it. I was looking forward to it. Had my banjo with me all weekend.
Yeah, it's so great.
One of the highlights of Coachella this weekend. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday, the return of Ralph Garman from vacation. Ralph, we missed you, man. It's great to have you back on the show, Bisbee.
I would like to say it's good to be back.
Excellent.
I'd like to say that, but I cannot.
Okay. So, here I am.
You need more time missed off? Us a little bit, though, right?
I was just starting to.
Uh-huh.
Towards the end of the week, last week.
Oh, good.
And then I came back to work.
Now, in this
you realize it was misplaced.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
In the last hour and a half, now you're already...
I'm out. I need another vacation. Yes, absolutely. Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Rio, number one. $40 million made its opening weekend.
Now, I know these movies aren't made for me. I don't go to animated movies in general, and this one in particular looked awful. But is it just me, or did this movie look awful to you guys, too?
Yes. And I like animated films, and I had no interest in seeing this. However, Fox promoted the F out of this.
Yeah, they
thing.
Did. Right.
They were tying into their primetime programming, and they're showing up everywhere, and it was a ton of promotion. So I guess it all paid off.
Mr. Movie Phone filled in for you on Friday, Ralph. Our friend Russ Leatherman.
Great.
Because this movie is about parrots, he took the opportunity to tell us that he apparently, am I wrong about this, Kevin? It sounded to me like he sexually stimulated his parrot to death.
I don't know. We might have to go back to the tape. And just he told us a story. He said, let me just tell you a story about because I love birds. And he went off on this tangent. We were like, what's happening right
and
now?
And his parrot had too many eggs. I know that was part of it. And he was talking about rubbing his parrot in a certain way. And apparently it died. And it was like the most bummer movie beat of all time.
We were like, what the hell's going on? It was a terrible story. I don't know what happened.
Between him and Doto doing showbiz, yeah. Maybe you guys should just retire my segments when I go on vacation. Just find a substitute segment to do instead of what I usually do, and then when I come back, I'll pick it back up again.
Doto's showbiz was better than any you've ever done.
It was the best showbiz report ever.
Define better.
Worse.
Yeah.
Oh, my child's been canceled, Kevin Bean.
Oh, my child.
He was magic.
Irma Thompson.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Good old Irma Thompson.
Scream 4 was number 2 at the box office, then Hop, Soul Surfer, Hannah, Arthur, Insidious at number 7, Source Code, The Conspirator, the new movie about Abraham Lincoln's assassination, was number 9 with just $3.9 million, by the way.
Wow.
Not a lot of interest, I guess, in old Honest Abe's assassination.
It opened smaller, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Okay. And Your Highness, number 10 at the box office. This weekend, imagine how thrilled the people who went to see Charlie Sheen's show at the Trump Taj Mahal Hotel in Atlantic City were when an actual comedian got up on stage.
What?
Jeffrey Ross stopped by and stepped out on stage during Charlie's show. Yeah. By all accounts, he took the opportunity to grill Charlie as if it was one of the Comedy Central roasts, saying such quotes as, even Bernie Madoff wanted his money back after seeing this effing show. He also added, let's face it, Charlie Sheen is to stand up as Larry Flynn is to standing up. He's the best. Charlie revealed during the Q&A portion of the show that the most women he'd ever had sex with in one night was 7.
Dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the kind of entertaining tidbits you get when you go to the Charlie Sheen show. I wonder why Jeffrey Ross would do it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Maybe he wants a piece of Charlie's 3 million Twitter followers. Maybe that's why.
Maybe. It's just Jeffrey's so far above and beyond that whole circus that you think he wouldn't even participate. But
and I don't feel any compulsion whatsoever to throw, some assistance to Charlie Sheen if he's drowning. I'm not going to throw him a life raft.
No. I would Busey him. Which is what the guys on Celebrity Apprentice did last night to poor Gary.
Oh, I didn't see that last
night. Oh, I'm still mourning the loss of Gary Busey.
Are you?
Yeah.
He got kicked off?
Yeah, he got booted off last night.
But let's be honest, he was on like four episodes longer than he should have been.
He was on whatever long a season it's been. Yeah. But at the same time, that show really, that was what made the show, was Gary.
I know, but
The rest of his team was so fed up, they pretty much said, you know what I'm going to do in this task? Not much
they
of anything. He was the project manager, and they just said, you know, I could step up here and do more, but he didn't tell me to do anything, so I'm just going to stand here.
Oh, that sucks.
So they, I felt like
they Busey'd him.
The other guys were going to quit if Gary Busey didn't get fired. The whole team was just going to dissolve.
They were talking about that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Meatloaf's having a nervous breakdown, right, Ralph?
Yeah. He's losing his mind.
He's apoplectic. He can't even talk anymore.
He looked like a man who had been through like 3 tours in some violent, violent war overseas. He had that 1,000-yard stare, and he was just like, I'm past angry. I'm not angry anymore. I'm just... He just stood there in the boardroom with just a blank expression. He couldn't even formulate a sentence. He was just a broken man.
Is he
having
worked
with Gary Busey for 4 weeks.
Is he going to go right to celebrity rehab?
He's going to have to.
From this show?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to cry when he had his head in his hands. I thought he was just going to break down.
Yeah, it was
smashing. We got highlights for you next hour here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. You don't want to miss these.
Today's celebrity birthday is James Woods, is 64 years old today. Actor Rick Moranis, very funny guy. From Ghostbusters and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, he is 58. Eric Roberts.
Yeah, Eric.
From Sharktopus. And, you know, he's done some actual real acting, too. He is 55. Conan O'Brien's 48. Eric McCormick is also 48 today. Yeah. Maria Bello is 44 years old. America Ferrera, Ugly Betty, 27 years old. She also had a great arc on The Good Wife. I don't know if you guys are watching that show or not.
I watch that show.
She was real good on that. Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, is no longer a teenager and no longer a witch. What I believe. I think she gave it up. I think she found Christ.
It's a shame.
Yeah. She's 35 years old, and I'm Ralph Garman to walk the show.
You're not going to believe this, but not only do we have Big Four tickets now for the show this Saturday with Metallica and Slayer and Anthrax and Megadeth, we have another major concert announcement coming up for you on the Kevin DeBeat Show in about 10 minutes. I mean, it's crazy. It's one right after another around this place these days. But this Big Four show Saturday is a show we never thought we'd see in the United States, and it's going to be a great time. And you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the good news. The bad news is you're going to have to endure a little game we like to call Omarokie.
Hey,
and we're sorry in advance.
Omarokie as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Do something different this time around and try to sing it like Metallica sings it. When you're doing Metallica songs for the listeners to figure out what the title is, try have the melody in your head of how they do it and then try to copy that.
And that's what I always do. After this, they're going to call it the Big Five because Metallica is going to hear this and they're going to invite me to the show.
But what we're saying is try to help the listeners identify the song.
You guys are obviously not hearing the same thing I'm hearing in my head.
That's correct.
Because
that
this
is
magic,
true.
All right?
I wish we were.
Uh-huh.
All right. We'll take them in order starting with line one. Avelino joins us to get us started. Now, here's the way it works. Omar is going to sing a song by Metallica, of course, one of the bands in the Big Four this week, and all you have to do is name the song. If you're right, you go into the drawing, and someone on the phone will win tickets to the Big Four. All right, who's doing the drawing? Kevin, you want to take care of that since Lisa's out? Okay. Avelino, you ready to play Omarokie?
Yes, I am.
All right, good luck. Listen up. Here's O.
Something's wrong. Shut the light. Heavy thoughts tonight. And they aren't of so wide. Dreams of war. Dreams of liars. Dream of dragon fire. And all things that will bite. Yeah.
Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
Right,
I don't know how you did it, but you're right.
It sounds just like that.
They're too nice.
Yeah, it sounds just like it.
Just
Hold
like
on.
That. Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on Live 2. Chris, you ready to play some Omaroki today?
Let's do it.
Need to work the way, never you betray. Life of death becoming clearer. Painanopoly, ritual misery. Chop your breakfast on a mirror. Taste me, you will see.
That's fine, no. That's
more
enough.
Is all
that's
you need. All right. Dedicated to how
thank
I'm
you.
Feeling you.
Thank you, Chris. What song?
Oh, man.
It's a Metallica song. Just give us it.
Metallica.
Enter
Sandman's the only Metallica song you know, right?
It's the one that just happened.
Yeah, so that's Master of Puppets.
Yeah!
That didn't sound anything like
just
it,
just like
the way.
No.
Nothing
no.
at all.
The Big Five.
I was looking at the title and the lyrics when you were singing, and it didn't ring a bell.
Omar, do you have headphones on? Are you able to hear yourself?
Yeah, it sounds just like the original.
All right. Marshall, I'm sorry you had to endure the first two. You ready for yours?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, good luck.
Hey, I'm your life. I'm the one who takes you there. Hey, I'm your life. I'm the one who cares. They betray. I'm your only true friend now. They betray.
That's fine.
I'm forever
thank you.
There.
Thank you.
Unforgiven. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm your life.
Dead
sad
on.
But true.
Are you kidding
sad
me?
What?
Nothing like it.
Those two were,
just like it.
By the way, not just like it, but recognizable. I mean, those two people are lame.
Yes,
right?
they are.
They deserve tickets
right.
to go out there. All right.
I think there are a lot of Metallica fans who know the Black Album, and that's it. I really do.
All right.
Anthony, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Good luck.
What I felt, what I've
sensitive,
known,
Omar.
Never shine through what I've shown, never be, never see.
Can you just stop now, please?
Yes, please. Yes, he said stop.
Hang up on this asshole.
Unforgiven.
Yeah!
Nicely done.
All right, you are in the drawing, Anthony. Please hang on. Let's do another at 1-800-520-1067. This is going to be our man, Richard. Richard, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to play?
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Good luck. I hope there's somebody whose alarm is going off while Omar is singing, and they think
too.
They've died and gone to hell.
And the road becomes my bride, and I have stripped of all but pride. So in her I do confide, and she keeps me satisfied.
Gives okay, me okay, he's got it, he's got it. Okay, oh, okay, oh, that's fine.
All right,
okay.
Oh, hey, oh.
Richard.
Wherever
I may roam.
Yes, wherever I may roam is right. All right, I got about the strength for maybe one more, but that's it. A final contestant is going to be Tim. Tim, you ready to play Omaroki?
I'm ready.
Playing for Big Four tickets. Listen up, here's O.
Just like a wartime novel. Just like a wartime novel.
Sorry.
Take three.
Here we go.
Just like a wartime novelty, tied to the machines that make me be. Cut this
I
life off
it.
From
yes,
me.
Yes,
yes.
What is it? What is it?
It's one.
It sure the hell is.
I didn't get to the best part, guys.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
The best part
all
is
right.
when you stop singing.
How dare you?
Avelino, Anthony, Richard, and Tim got some great contestants. They were able to see past Omar's BS and name the Metallica song. Who's going to Big Four, Kevin?
All right. Let's see here. It would be Tim.
Yay!
Tim is the last guy we talked to. He's the one that cut you off. We appreciate that.
Oh,
thank you.
Tim, you got your Big Four tickets, and
yes.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for sitting through Omaroki.
Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and I hope you've gone to the website, krock.com, and checked out the coverage of Coachella. The photo galleries are unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. It's like being there. There's so much stuff up there, and a bunch of the performances from the K-Rock Coachella house, too. It's all on the website. It's awesome.
It is 23 minutes after 7 o'clock.
That band right there is called Soundgarden on the Kevin and Bean Show, fell on Black Days, and if you were thinking, hey... It's been a long time since I've had the chance to see Soundgarden in concert. We've got great news for you. Here is a new announcement. You've not heard this before, but Soundgarden is playing the Forum on July 22nd. Tickets are on sale this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. You probably never thought you'd see Soundgarden back together, but it is, in fact, happening. In fact, to celebrate Soundgarden, we've got tickets for you all week long here on The Kevin Bean Show, including right now. Since Dave is so tired from Coachella this weekend,
yeah,
let's make it caller 100. Make Dave answer the phone. Chip, you sit this one out. Let Dave handle it. Caller 100 at 1-800-520-1067. You win a pair of tickets to see Soundgarden July 22nd at the Forum.
All right. Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day. You can leave a message on any topic. We're going to find out why Dave is so tired in just a minute. But first, what were we talking about? Did a listener invite you to his wedding, Bean? And then you mentioned you hate going to weddings, or
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think the topic did come up when we were talking about how I can get out of a wedding that I may have to go to this summer. Is that what this call's about?
Probably.
Hey, Bean, this is the guy that's going to invite you to my wedding. I heard the podcast, and then, well, that was just smart telling everybody on the radio that you don't want to go to my wedding. You're a big giant douchebag.
All right, that's not my friend who's going to invite me to his wedding, but I'm sure he'll have the same reaction when he finds out that I don't want to go. And it's nothing against him, but Kevin, you're with me. Weddings blow.
Weddings do blow. Yeah,
you have to dress up. That sucks. We got a bunch of calls from the Coachella grounds.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? It's Menace from Live 105 in San Francisco, and I'm at Coachella, and the king of Mexico is very drunk.
Yeah.
Thanks for the update.
he was drunk all weekend, and I was as well.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have a lot of memories about right. the weekend. I think it went well. I really am basing that on nothing, but...
You think you had a good time.
I had a great time, yes.
Oh, Jimmy, well designed, good jealous hat. I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, good.
Yeah. I think the Afro line got quite the workout this weekend.
Doto did the showbiz at the last chance on Friday.
Kevin.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to cut that one out. Yeah. Obviously for for reasons that are self-explanatory. All right, Doto.
Fire Ralph right now and hire Doto to be the new showbiz correspondent. Ralph Doto.
That's what I'm talking about. I could listen to him do showbiz stories all day long.
I like, no matter how many times he addressed either one of us, 100% of the time he got the name wrong.
Yep.
You were always Bean.
Yep.
I was always Kevin.
I'm on the 8th story in L.A. of a building, and I still can't get your goddamn radio station. F you guys, all of you.
Yeah, we don't have a strong signal, if that's what you're talking about.
So sorry.
I am driving, and I'm listening to Kevin and Bean, and move the f*** out of the way. And that's my point.
Yeah, I'm with her, by the way. Move out of the way.
Just don't drag us into your road rage.
No, but I'm saying just in general, move out of the way. I think that's good advice.
It's been way too long since we heard eat all the old people. You gotta eat all the old people.
I agree.
You gotta eat all the old people.
I agree. It's been it's been a couple of years since we played eat all the old people.
I think we can save it. I don't think we...
The people of our nation don't see no obligation to fix a situation with the elder generation. They stuffing up the nursing homes to overflowing. But the problem keeps growing. People getting jacked for their social security checks. I detect that they don't get no respect. So what you gonna do? A dilemma for the whole crew. Open up your ears, I got an answer for you.
What's that?
Open up your ears, I got an answer for you. Open up your ears, I got an answer for you. We got to eat all the old people. Show them that you love them. We got to eat all the old people. Shove them in an oven. We got to eat all the old people. Stick them in a freezer. We got to eat all the old people. We gonna garnish up a geezer. Gonna hack them, whack them, debone and stack them. Two by two. On the barbecue rack,
that's fine.
The that's old green. School. We old school Kevin Bean fans. That one's for you.
What? Why?
I'm just saying, do you want to live in a world, Kevin? Is this the America you even remember from growing up? If you live in a world where Gary Busey gets voted off of Celebrity Apprentice. I mean, is that where you want to see our nation going?
He got voted off?
No Busey, no peace. What's the point of tuning in Sunday nights on NBC anymore if there's no Gary?
That's rough.
Last night was Celebrity Apprentice. Hit it, Steve.
Sorry, Steve wasn't ready.
Steve's a little slow on the uptake today. What's going on? And as usual, on Mondays on the Kevin and Bean Show, we catch up with the man himself, the great Donald Trump, joins us on the show. Hey, the Donald, how are you?
Don't worry. When I'm president, I will make Gary Busey Secretary of Defense.
I love it.
I think you do have to give him some sort of job in your cabinet. I mean, let's face it. You don't want to live in a world without Gary Busey either, right?
No, I don't. Maybe vice president.
Right. There you go. There
I got to tell you, you went about 5 weeks longer than I thought you were going to be able to not firing Gary Busey.
I love Gary Busey.
You do.
I'm a big fan of his.
Right.
I think he may be a genius.
Right.
Or a moron.
Right.
I love him so much, I called him a moron to his face last night.
Oh.
Yeah, you sure did. All right. So here's what's going on. For folks who aren't watching Celebrity Apprentice, is you've got celebrities that are out there working for Donald Trump, doing tasks every week, raising money for charity. Now, all the guys, so the guys and girls is how they're separated on the show. All the men on Gary's team hate him. They can't wait for him to get fired. In fact, I feel like they're going to quit if he doesn't get fired. So John Rich, who's one of the stars from he's a country music star who's on Gary's team, confronts Gary after he is not voted off last week when he should have been instead of Mark McGrath. And here's John Rich's theory that he tells Gary.
I think you're a saboteur.
Well, I'm not a saboteur.
I think you are.
What's your definition of a saboteur?
You do things on purpose to try to create enough conflict where we could possibly someone could get fired. You're extremely smart, so you're either crazy or you're a saboteur, and I don't think you're crazy.
I'm not a saboteur either.
Okay, well, prove me wrong, because that's what I think.
So that's his theory, is that Gary is doing it on purpose. He's creating disharmony in the group because he wants somebody else to get fired instead of him. What do you think about that, Donald?
I think that boy should shut up and sit down.
All right. We are going to get to that later. So the task this week is for Omaha Steaks. The teams are asked to present, basically, it would be like they were filming an infomercial. They're doing a display in front of a group of people talking about the great Omaha Steaks, and they're cooking and they're showing, hey, you should order steaks from us. So they have a pre-meeting before the presentation with the representatives from Omaha Steaks. Gary asks a lot of very bizarre questions of the steak guy.
Beef that comes from all the different producers.
You go to different producers, you mean ranchers?
Well, we'll only buy beef from certain parts of the country. And you know, that's the great thing about living in Omaha, Nebraska.
What about Arizona? Do you buy beef there?
No, we don't.
Hmm. Is that slaughtering done in a certain way?
Now, what was he going for with asking questions about how the cows were slaughtered and what state you get them from and all that good stuff?
Well, everyone knows that Arizona steaks are the best cut of meat you can get. Gary's a connoisseur, and he knows that Arizona beef's the best there is. And he wants to know if they kill them with, like, a cactus or something.
That was odd.
A bizarre line of questioning. It did not seem like it was going to help them in their presentation at all, right? Over on the ladies' team, they're cooking up their burgers and steaks as well. And it won't surprise you, Kevin, to know that LaToya has never cooked in her life.
Oh, that's Michael Jackson's sister? Crazy.
Yes. Yeah. And Nene, who's on the same team, finds that very difficult to believe and just can't figure out what LaToya's talking about.
So how many minutes do you think on each side?
About four.
Four?
Growing up, we have personal chefs and my family home, and we still do, of course.
4 minutes on each side, okay?
I've never done the hamburger bit, flipping in that whole bit, but I have done an egg.
For a woman to say, I don't know how to cook, is crazy to me. Do you live in America? That's what we do, eat hamburgers. I can't get over it. It's just too much for me. It's just like, are you for real?
I think Nene's had enough of LaToya and her sheltered life, don't you?
The closest that Jackson has ever gotten to cooking, it was during filming of a Pepsi commercial.
and it won't surprise anyone that when LaToya was trying to cook later, when they were actually rehearsing for their presentation, she managed to practically burn the kitchen down, and flames were everywhere. And she just sat there and looked at it and just said, oh, let it burn itself out. Why bother
Sweet.
Putting out a grease fire on a stove, right?
They also had a personal fireman at the family house. For the Jacksons as well.
They must have. She'd never cooked a hamburger in her life, guys. That's what happened.
That is unheard of.
All right, so Gary Busey somehow, as team leader, decides that he's the one who's going to make the presentation to the audience for Omaha Steaks. Now, Donald, I'll play as much of this as you want, but I have ready to fire up his touching story that he told about Father's Day and a kite. Now, I don't know how much of this we have time to play, but there's very little in here about Omaha Steaks and a lot about Gary and his wild imagination. So just jump in when you want me to quit, Don.
I'm going to give you a vision to see. A 14-year-old boy, a 12-year-old daughter decide they're going to make a meal for their father. Now, the kids bring the meal in. The father sits down. The father looks at the kids and goes, we made this for you, Dad. Hope you like it. So Dad starts eating, and the kids are like, and the father wells up tears. Then he looks at his son and daughter,
and says, "This is so beautiful for you to have made this for me." And the gift the father gets on Father's Day is a big kite.
What?
And on the kite, it says, "Heartland Quality Omaha Steak since 1917. And the father flies the kite, gets the kite in the air, and gives it to the daughter and the son. And here they are. They're flying the kite over the house. So they have a good feeling in their stomach. And guess who gets to see the kite? Everybody in the neighborhood.
It's kind of like when we had Gary on, and we couldn't ever stop him from telling stories.
When you want to sell steaks, get a kite.
Get a kite?
That is one of the oldest standbys in business practices ever.
Did they decide on that?
Kites sell products.
Was he calling a variable, or did they decide on that pitch?
He kept talking about the kite all night long, really. That was the main thrust of what he wanted to get across, was a big kite.
He was sure into that kite, and the audience was just sitting there with their mouths open going, "What does this have to do with steak?" It was so bizarre. Well, needless to say, the women's presentation was deemed the best by Omaha Steak, so the men ended up in the boardroom. And Donald, what's it like sitting in your chair when you look out and see all those guys with all that hate for Gary Busey? Poor Meatloaf, and we'll hear this clip in a minute. Poor Meatloaf was catatonic. He was so upset.
I couldn't understand what they have against Gary. I think working with Gary on a daily basis would be a joy. It'd be much like what you go through being working with Kevin every day.
How dare you?
Yeah, you have to drink heavily. That's the only way to get through it. Well, here's Meatloaf. And you guys know, Kevin, you've watched the show. I know you missed last night. But he's a very smart, articulate, passionate guy.
Sure.
He can't even get a sentence out. He's just so upset with having to work with Gary and the possibility that Gary might not get fired last night.
Do you think going forward, Gary is going to hurt your team? Even if you win tonight.
Okay, I'm going to lay it out to you straightforward.
Meatloaf has always been very precise in his speaking in the boardroom that I've seen so far, but I almost sense the frustration in your voice. I mean, you're almost stuttering that you're having such a hard time dealing with this. I mean, is that
I'm not angry at all. Not there, past the point of anger. It's frustration at
I thought he was going to jump off the building after the meeting if Busey wasn't fired.
Meatloaf, his head literally exploded.
Literally,
after we filmed that, we're still picking meat brains off the rug.
All right, Donald, as you alluded to earlier, John Rich did not like being referred to as boy by Gary Busey. Here's how he describes what happens, and then wait till you hear Gary's explanation as to what he thinks happened instead. You won't believe it.
I exercise my patience more than I have in my entire life. Being referred to as boy is not something.
Calls you boy?
Yes, sir, he did.
The only
call
one with
me
a
boy.
Bigger problem with that name would be Little Jim.
That's right.
Right?
But it's a big.
Now, that would be a bigger problem.
It is a
right?
big
would
problem.
Would that be a bigger problem?
Hell yeah.
It's a big problem.
You trying to start a race riot?
Yeah.
Donald, what the hell's going
on? That's funny, huh? Calling black people boys, huh? What do you think, boy? Wouldn't that be bad? Would you be upset? How about darky? How do you like that?
That's almost what it seemed like as you were trying to make the situation worse than it already was.
Here we go.
How about color
race
guy?
War!
How about
exactly.
How about Negro?
Right. All right.
What really gets you upset, Little John?
What's happening?
So Gary Busey claims that he did not, in fact, call John Rich boy. John Rich, by the way, was adamant about this. It really upset him for 24 straight hours. He was so upset by being called boy. You don't ever do that. Wait till you hear Gary's explanation as to what he actually did say.
I said kaboy.
Kaboy.
No, sir.
Like
you said, sit down and listen to me, boy.
No, I didn't say boy.
And yes, you did, and now you're calling me a liar, and I won't
no, I didn't.
That either.
I said kaboy.
And I'm going to tell you how I was raised.
What did you say,
Trump.
Kaboy?
Yeah, real quick.
What's kaboy?
It's like what they call the Dallas Cowboys.
They call them cowboys.
They call them cowboys.
It's called the Dallas Cowboys.
Inner circles.
In the inner circles, they call the Cowboys kaboy.
You wouldn't know this, but in the locker room, they call each other Cowboy.
He's crazy.
Hey, Cowboy.
Anyone knew?
Hey, Dallas Cowboy.
So why did he call John Rich Cowboy then? He doesn't
because
play for the Cowboys.
John Rich is from Texas, and he was simply trying to give him a compliment of calling him a Cowboy.
Oh, so you're buying his story, Donald.
Absolutely, because let's face it, Gary was quarterback for the Cowboys in the late 1978-79 season.
I don't think he was.
Well, it won't surprise anybody after hearing this from last night's Celebrity Apprentice, but here's how it ended.
Gary, you're very talented. You're very unique. You're an amazing guy. And Gary, you're fired.
What are you going to do now, Donald?
Well, find another crazy person to make people watch the show, for one thing. And lastly, go Cowboys.
I think LaToya is going to have to really ramp up the crazy now to get this rest of the season on track.
Got to hope for a Nene Star catfight now.
There you go. All right, Donna, we'll do it again next week, man. Thank you.
See you, Cowboys.
We're going to talk all things Coachella coming up after the top of the hour. I think it's a miracle that everybody that works on our show that went to Coachella actually came back.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
They all showed up.
I was hoping for at least one death.
It was touch and go for a while,
was it?
Kevin will tell the exciting story about him sleeping in his car until almost 4 a.m. and missing all the parties on Saturday night. And much more coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph Garman is back from vacation. Time for a look at the showbiz beat the way it's supposed to be done. What's going on, Ralph?
When I heard about the temperatures, I was really sad I wasn't there in Coachella. I would have had a good time.
It was a bit warm.
I love a
Ralph
nice...
Ralph does love the heat.
I love to be inside a nice pottery kiln for a weekend. That would be fun.
It got up there. It was, what'd you say?
By the way.
At sunset Saturday, Kevin, it was almost 100 degrees.
At 7:30, the sun was behind the mountains.
Right.
It was 97.
Come on.
I think that was Saturday night.
Listen, goddamn Coachella people. Have your festival in, like, February.
But then it would be cold.
Better cold than hot.
Not me.
Better cold than hot.
Better hot than cold.
Hot is the worst.
I don't think you have much choice. It's just you're rolling the dice.
You can put on more clothes. You can conquer cold. You can't conquer hot. You can't take your skin off. You can't go any further than just down to like shorts and a shirt.
Even as hot as it was great.
No. Nope.
You didn't even go.
I'm telling you, no.
Okay.
With that kind of heat, nothing is great.
It was great.
There is no great with that kind of heat.
It was great.
With great heat with Ralph. Comes great responsibility.
I might be with Ralph here because I watched quite a bit of it this weekend on their YouTube channel in, comfort climate controlled home.
Right. See? So you're both disagreeing with the guy who was there.
Me and
right.
The boy in the plastic bubble agree.
Wow. That should scare you.
Could not have been great.
It was
with
great.
That kind of heat. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Rio surprised everyone. That animated film about parrots. $40 million it made its debut weekend. Just about everybody who went to the movies this weekend went to see Rio.
Wow.
Because the rest of the movies were lackluster in comparison. Scream 4, big disappointment for those folks, made just a hair under $20 million in its debut. That was good enough to make it number two. Then Hop, it was third. Soul Surfer. Soul Surfer.
No. This is the chick who lost her arm to a shark. Oh. Nothing to do with the train song.
Oh. $7.4 million made it number four. Hannah was fifth. Then Arthur, Insidious, Source Code, The Conspirator, and Your Highness rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. A lot of talk this weekend about who's going to play the Lone Ranger opposite Johnny Depp's Tonto, his faithful Indian companion.
A lot of talk this week, was there? A
lot of talk.
Wait,
you didn't
Johnny
know because you were in Coachella. You didn't hear the talk. But in air-conditioned places, everybody was talking about it.
In the inner circle, Ralph.
That's right.
Right. In the inner circle.
Now, they weren't just going to play that mask, Cowboy.
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 So Johnny Depp is playing the Lone Ranger or he's playing Tonto?
No.
Which one is he playing?
He's playing Tonto, his faithful Indian companion.
Okay, so now we're looking at who's going to play the Lone Ranger.
Right, and they've been asking for some time because Johnny's been signed up to play Tonto for months.
Right,
and Gore Verbinski, the guy who directed the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, he's going to be directing this film.
Sweet.
And they just couldn't find a Lone Ranger. But apparently,
Ryan
Gosling is in talks to play the Lone Ranger.
Oh. Well, now that's interesting to me because I think Johnny Depp has more gravitas than Ryan Gosling. It seems to me like it ought to be the other way around. Depp should be the Lone Ranger.
I agree. I think Gosling is a little light, little flimsy to play the Lone Ranger because Lone Ranger is like a macho cowboy Butch John Wayne type guy,
right?
You know? I think a John Hamm type guy or something like that. I need a man's man to play the Lone Ranger.
Are you guys talking about the Lone Ranger?
Gary Busey would be a great Lone Ranger.
Go, Tonto, good boy. Let's go. Go fly a kite. You can fly a kite up in the air and a big silver bullet on it. Everybody looks at the kite.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Is this rhetorical?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you now? Fine. We can still hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I got you.
Can you hear me now?
Stop. You're coming through.
That Verizon guy who for 9 years has been asking us, can you hear me now?
Right.
Is out of a job.
They fired him?
Yep. Verizon is moving on with their advertising tactics, and their pitch man, Paul Marcarelli, has no longer employed by the company. For 9 years, he asked that question.
That was a pretty sweet gig. Let's be honest. That lasted longer than anyone thought.
He made about $6,000 per commercial.
Wow.
was contracted to appear in between 40 and 20 and 40 spots per year. But then if you compound that with residuals, then his face being on billboards and posters and magazines and newspapers, plus personal appearances at Verizon-sponsored events.
Oh, yeah.
By all accounts, he made a fortune uttering one five-word sentence for 9 years.
That's sweet. Sweet gig.
He's moving on. He's making his own film. He's writing and producing a film, I guess.
That'll be just as easy.
Well, he's got the cash to do it. It's already in production. Julia Ormond and Ileana Douglas are going to star in it. It's about a gay couple in a small Connecticut town. Turns out that he, in fact, is gay, although he felt obligated not to speak publicly about it because he didn't want to have any repercussions for Verizon or the people he was working with. But he says that he's been the subject of gay bashing in the town where he lives because teenagers would drive by his home in Connecticut and shout out, "Can you hear me now, F-bomb?" And scream that at his house.
That's terrible.
Really? In the 21st century, that's how you, that's, is that comedy? Is that pass for comedy?
And don't even ask what Kobe said about him.
Oh, you don't want to know.
How's so what are they going to
do last night, by the way? Anybody see the game?
Oh, I watched the game, yeah.
Oh, was there a game?
Apparently there was.
I'm sorry, I didn't,
they didn't try to overcome the early deficit and pretty much just were behind. I think they were tied for about a minute somewhere in the middle. But other than that, they were behind the entire game and really didn't look like they cared that much.
I saw they're playing the Celtics. That is a tough, tough team.
Well,
that
no,
is one
actually,
of the toughest teams
no,
in the NBA. I mean,
it
everyone
the
knew
New Orleans.
What?
It's just New Orleans.
There's a team in New Orleans?
Yeah. That's what I said, by the way.
Yeah.
There was
the
only...
Jazz? The Jazz is still
nope.
playing? What?
No, it's the Hornets.
It's the Hornets.
Hornets.
And they were the only team that played yesterday.
Huh.
Oddly.
And apparently not everyone in Zsa Zsa Gabor's family is thrilled about their new baby that they're going to be bringing it home.
I think it's an outstanding idea. I'm for it.
Zsa Zsa, who is 94, by the way, and on death's door.
Right.
She and her husband, Prince Frederick von Anhalt, are going to use a surrogate to have another baby.
Are they going to give the surrogate baby to surrogate parents?
No, they're going to raise it as her own, as their own. Zsa Zsa just doesn't have enough to do. I guess laying around in a hospital bed with one leg really is getting her down, and she wants to, you know, have the challenge of raising an infant.
Terrible idea to bring a child into the world in that situation.
Well, you know who's not happy about it, Kevin?
The rest of the world?
Zsa Zsa's 67-year-old daughter apparently thinks it's a bad idea.
Her daughter's almost 70!
She's gone public with the idea that... perhaps it's not a good idea for that particular couple to bring a new baby into the world.
The prince, by the way, is 67 also. He's the young, spry one in the family.
Yeah. He should just get with the daughter.
Sure. There you go.
Yeah. Make sweet love with the daughter.
Leave a baby out of it.
This is unbelievable, Ralph.
It is craziness. Today's celebrity birthdays, America Ferrera. She was Ugly Betty. She's 27 years old today. Melissa Joan Hart, who was Sabrina, your teenage witch, 35. Eli Roth, very talented director. Ad actor. He's
what's
still
his favorite holiday? Do you know?
He still owes us a movie.
He does.
Know? Thanksgiving. He owes us Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. White meat, dark meat, all will be carved. You'll be going home this year for the holidays in a body bag. Thanksgiving.
It must be Thanksgiving in here because somebody wants some stuffing.
Maria Bello is 44 years old. Eric McCormick.
Yeah, Eric.
He's 48. Conan O'Brien is also 48. Eric Roberts is 55.
Yeah, Eric.
Rick Moranis is 58. And James Woods, very talented actor, turned 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. This is a great time of year if you love concerts. Of course, Coachella just behind us this weekend. We'll talk about it in a second. We announced Soundgarden July 22nd at the Forum of Inglewood. That announcement was made last hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. July 22nd, again, is the show for Soundgarden back together again. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10, and every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're hooking you up with tickets for the Big Four, which is this weekend, and that's Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. All right, speaking of Coachella, listening to you guys talk, and Dave the King of Mexico is in studio with us here too, listening to you guys talk, it's like, it's the Hangover 2. That's what's going on right now, as you try to put the pieces together. Where were you? What did I do? What did you see? Who's this guy? I mean, it's just crazy how little you remember from the weekend.
Well, we need to stop drinking, first of all. But second of all, we need to stop drinking. Because, yeah, you get there and you show up and you see a lot of great stuff. And at the end of the night, you go, that was great. And then somebody says, who'd you like? And you go,
I don't remember.
That one person in the tent.
That guy in the tent was good.
He was good.
Arcade Fire was, for me, the highlight.
Awesome.
They were amazing.
Big balloons. Lots of balloons.
And go to the site, kevinandbean.com, if you want to see some unbelievable photos. Not the ones I took. Mine are bad. I went through, like Bean said, like the hangover, and I was trying to figure out from the photos, like, what happened. I have no idea.
I can't even make out what you're photographing in most of your photos that you posted.
Me either. And they came up, and I was like, what's that?
I looked through them, and I was like, I remember that.
But I don't know what it's from.
You know, I was like, oh, I remember seeing that.
So Saturday night, we're supposed to go to a bunch of parties. We're going to take your calls for Coachella disasters. I think that's always fun when things go wrong. But I had really great parking. And the only reason I say that is because they gave it to the wrong person. Because it was after Arcade Fire. My phone was dead. We were going to go to some parties. I needed to get a hold of Dave. I couldn't find him. So I walked back to my car to plug my phone in. And I walked for 14, 16, 20 miles. I don't know. I really don't have any idea. I was wandering around the desert. And then I finally found my car and plugged my phone in and woke up. And it was almost 4 a.m. So, did you go to parties? Did you?
Yeah,
did I miss
anything?
A couple
parties. You only missed Rihanna.
She was at
our friend Alessandra Ambrosia.
She was there too.
Oh yeah.
While I was sleeping in my car.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bean, what you don't understand about Kevin's parking situation is his parking is literally across the street from the exit. There's only one exit in the back, and then there's Kevin's parking.
It would be impossible to walk out of Coachella and not run into Kevin's car.
Exactly. You have to pass by his car to get to other parking lots.
It was stupid. It was stupid good. Like, really, no one was closer.
Oh,
and
so
yet,
easy.
I wandered the desert for 45 minutes. I thought I was going to have to walk home. I don't know what happened. But then I fell asleep.
Like, you were Moses' people in the Bible for a minute.
But I missed Alessandro Ambrosio.
Oh, you missed Hot Chicks. Rihanna security pushing me out of the way.
Sweet.
It was awesome.
Wow. Yeah. What'd you do? Were you
nothing. I just left the bathroom, and then I see this big security guard just chuck me, and then I was like, whoa, what happened?
Sweet.
And then you see Rihanna walk by. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
Oh, so he was just clearing the hall for her?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Because no one can look in Rihanna's eyes.
Yeah, it's not like we were in a tight area. We were in a giant airport, you know, in Indio, and plenty of room. Just chuck me anyways.
Do you think when she talks about it, Rihanna calls it Coachella? Ella?
Oh, my God.
Because it seems like you so much.
Kyle?
All right, we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. And let's talk about what we're looking for here, because you mentioned Coachella disasters. Anytime you get 80,000 people together in a desert, many of whom are living on the grounds in campsites, where it's so easy to get separated from your people, it's so easy to get confused, it's so easy to get drunk, it's so easy to get sick. I mean, there are lots of potential things that could go wrong. I understand that security this year was fantastic at Coachella, and by that I mean they really did a good job of stopping most people who were trying to crash the gates. Although, Dave, you had had an incident you were telling me about of somebody that you know that got in, right?
Well, someone, they wanted to test security, so they had this JanSport backpack, and they decided to put a man inside the backpack. And try to get through security with him.
You mean a midget?
No. 5'4 guy.
Well, how do you put a 5'4 guy
in a backpack?
This happened.
What?
That sounds like an urban legend. You couldn't carry a 5'4 guy on your back in a backpack.
Yes. I'm looking into Dave's eyes right now, and he does not know what happened.
Listen, this is what I was told.
All right. You didn't see it?
Of course not.
All right.
This is what I was told.
Okay.
This is sketchy.
But there was a big backpack, and the guy jumps in, curls up like in a ball, and the guy's struggling to carry him, and security goes, oh, your wristband works, go on in. Second security, your wristband works, go on in. Because, you know, they're scanning us this year.
But they weren't searching backpacks to look for people who were bringing in weapons?
I'm telling you right now.
So then the guy
there's
hops.
No way that it's happening the way Dave's describing it.
No. And the guy hops out of the backpack and says, you realize I just walked in through the backpack. And security goes, oh, well.
Nope. But I'm saying no.
That didn't happen.
I don't know anything about it because I wasn't there for that particular thing. Neither was Dave. But I'm telling you that the story that Dave just told could not possibly
Lightning
be the truth.
Is my witness to this.
Yeah,
he was there when we were told.
He's no backup for anybody's story.
Wait. He was there when we were told.
So he knows as little about it as you do, right, Dave?
Exactly.
I also heard that there were, for the size of the crowd, a remarkably few number of arrests for drinking, which, you know, usually you expect there are going to be a lot of people who are just going to be out of control. They're taken away. But, I mean, I know, for instance, Saturday was just 13. For a crowd of that size, that's crazy low. So I don't know what was going on this
crazy
weekend,
low played.
I know our listeners, and I know that they do have some stories. Now, yeah. The only problem with trying to do this phone topic the day after Coachella is a lot of them are still out there.
There's some
a lot of them haven't come back yet.
Yeah,
and never will.
You know what was a problem?
they may just move there. Hey, I'm just going to live in India.
You know what was a problem? B.O. Seriously, people, just take an Axe body spray with you or something. I couldn't enjoy Chemical Brothers because this guy walked up next to me and Omar and literally just stunk us out.
Like, so move over. What's wrong with
you? I couldn't get away from the stench.
You couldn't get away.
Dude, smelled so bad. I was like, look, I get it. You were out all day, but, you know, throw some water on, man. Just freshen up a little bit. It kind of kills it when you're trying to rock out and dance and some dude just stinks. It's brutal.
I think it's tough, though. Most people don't carry, everything with them. And it's 100 degrees outside, and you're outside for 12 hours. There's not a lot you can do in some cases.
Yeah, but the hippie smelled better than this guy. It's just brutal.
I heard a guy came in a backpack, and he was like 7 foot tall.
No, you got that wrong. It was 10 guys came in a backpack. That's what I heard. It was 10 different guys climbed out. It was like a clown car with midgets.
Here's what I know. Dave and I need to stop drinking. And
as much.
Dave and I need to stop drinking because we really have very, very limited memories of what went on at Coachella. So please give us a call if you have some highlights or some lowlights or whatever. You lost your friends. You lost your clothes. You lost your shoes. You lost your phone.
You lost your car.
All happens. You couldn't find your car. Whatever it is. 1-800-520-1066.
Go to KevinAmin.com today and take a look at the pictures that ended up on Kevin's camera after the Coachella weekend. Maybe you can help him piece together what some of these are. I think your camera was just taking pictures randomly. You weren't really focusing on anything, I think is what was going
on. That is possible.
Let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067 with people who had interesting things, shall we say, happen to them this weekend. Alan is on line two. He'll get us started. Hey, Alan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Did you survive Coachella?
I totally did. It was an awesome night. Lost my friend. She weighs 2 pounds soaking wet, decides to crowd surf during the strokes. I find her an hour later with no shoes and ready to puke.
Sweet. Wow, she had a good night. Yeah, if you crowd surf and you don't have shoes that are literally welded to your feet, they're going to be gone.
Yeah, but it was an amazing night. Arcade Fire, I grabbed me one of those balloons. It's still lighting up right now.
Here's amazing. The thing. We sound like idiots when we say, you should have seen the balloons. But you can go to YouTube and you can see some highlights of it on the Coachella channel. And it really, in person, was unbelievable.
It was mind-blowing. Yeah.
It was mind-blowing.
Yeah, because it was nighttime and they threw out these balls that were lit up.
But, I mean, it's not only that. It's like the energy and everybody together.
They were doing Wake Up.
It was awesome. It was
unbelievable.
Let's try Michael. He's got a story that involves a member of the Kevin and Bean family. Michael, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I was bartending at the party at the airport that Dave was talking about, and they unfortunately shut us down from pouring drinks at 2 o'clock with the California state laws. And Dave walks up right after they shut us down, and he's like, "Hey, I need some vodka." And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't serve you guys anymore." And he gives me his best wombat face, and he says, "He says, please, man, just give me one more drink, or slide me a bottle around the corner, or anything." And I was like, "Hey, I can't. I've got cops right here."
Wait a minute, hold on. Before you move on, he wanted you to just slide him a full bottle.
Slide me a bottle, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Naturally, I told my kid, and then I felt bad. As he was walking away, I called him back, and he just kept walking. He looked back at me and kept walking. And then 2 seconds later, some of the guys from Leonardo DiCaprio's group offered me $300 for a bottle of vodka, which naturally I gave to him.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Thanks for nothing, man.
That's awesome.
Thanks for nothing.
That's the way it should work.
Thank you for the call.
Leonardo DiCaprio's people. Ooh.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Speaking of Leonardo DiCaprio, I also saw pictures, I guess, on TMZ of Lindsay Lohan. Now, do you think Lindsay Lohan, she goes because it's a scene, right?
I think so.
I think she likes some music.
She could, too. I don't know. It is a scene, but it's also...
I mean, when Paris Hilton and people like that are there, you just get the impression that some people just want to go because it's a hot spot. Like, believe me, Paris Hilton isn't listening to any music that doesn't suck.
Yeah. Bam Margera was there. Shawn White was there.
The cast of Glee.
Paul McCartney. Who said who had the Paul
I ran up. When I first got, I got there early on Friday. Saw a little bit of Lauryn Hill, and then I wanted to go to the DJ tent because I want to check out Afrojack because I've heard a bunch of stuff at Afrojack.
Right.
This is the voice of DJ Omar Khan you're listening to right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And I walk up to the tent, and I see some over-fat dude, kind of, and I'm like, is that Paul McCartney? And I'm not on drugs or anything, so I'm like, no, that can't be Paul McCartney.
Wait, you're
and
not then, on drugs?
No, I'm not on drugs yet.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're not on drugs, then tell me how you don't recognize Paul McCartney, maybe the most famous musician in the world.
He was fat. He was fat Paul McCartney. He put on some pounds. So I was just like, that can't be Paul. So
it's also too surreal. It's also like he can't be here as a fan.
Fist pumping, by the way, to Afrojack when he's spinning.
Was he beating the beat up?
He was beating the beat up, man. It was crazy. So I saw, is that Paul McCartney? Is that Paul McCartney? And after Afrojack set, he gave Paul McCartney a shout out.
What?
Yeah, it was totally Paul McCartney.
I'm sure you were on drugs weird. And that didn't happen.
Maybe.
Maybe it was the guy in the backpack.
Let's do one more. Elise is going to tell us why you don't go to Coachella with your mom. Elise, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What led to the decision of you and your mom going to Coachella together?
Oh, we got these sick tickets, you know. We got, like, the backstage passes, the whole workup.
Right.
And I'm super fortunate. So we're backstage at Mumford & Sons, and we decided to break out the weed brownies.
Okay, hold it. Hold it right there.
Daughter bonding time.
So you and your mom had brought the weed brownies with you?
Yes.
You and your mom. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so we're backstage, we're rocking out, and then all of a sudden she passes out on me backstage at Mumford & Sons.
Because of the pop brownie?
Or because of the banjo music?
Yeah, the brownie. She overheated and passed out.
Is your mom Lisa?
So how long was she out?
Not too long. Like, she came too quickly after, but like everyone backstage was freaking out. Like, the security had to come and get her.
Wow.
I think the more remarkable part of the story is that you used the words rocking out when you were talking about Mumford & Sons. I know they play a mean banjo and everything. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, about a minute away from catching up with TMZ.com. Hey, the expression is kaboy. I just want to remind you of that if you'd forgotten from last hour, Kevin.
From Celebrity Apprentice?
Gary Busey didn't call John Rich boy. He called him kaboy. And here's how he explained that.
I said kaboy.
Cowboy.
No, sir. Like you said, sit down and listen to me, boy.
No, I didn't say boy.
And yes, you did, and now you're calling me a liar, and I'm
not
going to
do
that either.
I said cowboy.
And I'm going to tell you how I was raised.
What did you say,
Trump.
Cowboy?
Yeah, real quick.
What's cowboy?
It's like what they call the Dallas Cowboys.
They call them cowboys.
Sit they call down them cowboys.
It's called the Dallas Cowboys.
The inner circle.
In the inner circle, they call them cowboy. And I'm still, I saw that 12 hours ago. I'm still shaking my head thinking, look, I know that Gary Busey was in the hot seat. I know that he was being accused of something that was unflattering to him by the other members of his team. So he was punting, clearly. He was looking for some way out. How can I explain it away and make it sound like I didn't call that dude boy? Boy, but how do you come up with cowboy?
Inner circle.
I mean, how does that even come to your mind?
That's my favorite new lie, inner circle, because it's just basically you're telling people that they don't know.
Right.
Like, you don't know because you're not on the inside.
Right.
And it's total BS. Nobody calls it cowboy. Zero people.
Find one reference anywhere to anyone ever calling the Cowboys cowboy. And then Gary Busey will be vindicated. I'm just saying I'm going to miss him on that show. That's all I'm saying. All right. Apparently our friend Dax Holt from TMZ.com and the TMZ television is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dax. How are you, man?
Good. How about you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I know Harvey's in a meeting or something.
He
say that again.
Threw me into this like 2 seconds ago. He's like, "You guys, Dax, you got to go talk to him." I'm like, "Oh my god!"
but fortunately, you do stay pretty current. I mean, you know what's going on your own site, so you're fine to talk to, right?
I'm a professional, you guys.
Take it easy.
Exactly. I apologize you had no advance warning of this, but you have to try to walk us through as best you can what happened to Nick Cage over the weekend, because I'm still having trouble putting the pieces together. Who demands that they be arrested when police officers are saying, hey, go home?
I know. Who taunts the police? That's the one thing you should take away from this whole story. Don't taunt the police.
But
so he's down in New Orleans, and apparently him and his wife got in this argument. It was such a stupid argument. It was over where the address of the place that they're renting is.
Right.
And he's obviously drunk, and they're sitting there talking. Finally gets into a heated argument because he's saying, no, they live one place. She says another place. Well, they end up in a tattoo parlor because he's just trashed and decides, I'm going to go get a tattoo. So we got this surveillance video of inside the tattoo parlor, and they're kind of going back and forth at each other. She's trying to get him out of the tattoo parlor. He doesn't want to leave. They wind up out on the street, and a cab driver sees him grab her arm. So he calls the cops. Cops show up. Cops are like, you know what, you guys? Just go home. Go home. Get out of this. And Nick goes, why didn't you just arrest me?
but was he being facetious? Was he kidding?
I think he was just drunk and he was drunk. Just, you know, didn't care. Cop said, no, really, just go home. Why don't you arrest me?
Wow.
So they did, and they arrested him on domestic abuse and disturbing the peace.
Is that how much he wanted to get away from his wife? Just take me anywhere so I don't have to spend another minute with her? I mean, seriously, was that his way out?
I have no idea. And then on top of that, who bails him out? Dog Chapman.
Okay, now tell me how the bounty hunter got involved in this at all. Did Nick Cage call him, or was he in New Orleans and heard about it, or what happened?
I have absolutely no idea. I didn't know that they knew each other. I didn't know that they were friends. I don't know why Dog Chapman would lay down $11,000 to get him out of jail. I don't get it.
This is one of the weirdest stories ever.
It is, and isn't? I mean, Nick Cage certainly has access to $11,000. He doesn't need somebody else to bail him out, right, Dax?
He's been having a lot of money trouble. I mean, how many stories have we done about him losing houses around the country just because he's been in financial ruin?
Right, but he comes out with 40 movies a year. He should be digging himself out of that by now.
You would think, but it's not going. Oh, and then on top of it, do you guys see the mugshot?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sweet. It is.
With his eyes closed?
Yeah, this one goes down to the Hall of Fame of mugshots here.
It is.
And it's like someone's like taking the picture upright at him. It's the weirdest mugshot I've ever seen.
He looks dead. I got to be honest.
Dax, you may not know this, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but has Nicolas Cage ever been arrested before? Because he seems crazy enough that this can't be the first time he's gotten in trouble with the police.
I don't know for a fact, but he's like the original Charlie Sheen. People don't realize that. This guy is nuts.
Yeah,
he loves to party, loves to drink it up, and we get contact us emails all the time about, we got Nick Cage partying in Louisiana, but we just can never really confirm it if there's no photos or, evidence, and it's just him having a good time down there.
Well, you guys were out on front on this one, and I followed it with Glee all weekend long. Let me ask you about
Glee. Was on the site?
No, Glee. Gilligan. Let me ask you one more thing, Dax, from TMZ.com on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because we're so fascinated with the story, and you're doing a great job of keeping us up to date with this one, and that is Zsa Zsa Gabor, new mom Zsa Zsa Gabor, who is, 94 years old. Now, I know you've talked about her husband, Prince Von A-hole, as you call him on the site, for years now. The guy will do any. I mean, he calls the paparazzi when he's getting ready to go out and pick up his newspaper at the end of his driveway because he wants publicity so much, right?
Oh yeah. And the latest thing is he wants to be a dad now.
Yeah, is that whole purpose of this to say, hey, look at me over here, I'm still here. Hey, come cover me, put me on TMZ. Is that why he made up the whole thing about wanting to have a baby with Zsa Zsa?
I wouldn't be surprised. He sits at home. He's got a lot of time on his hand. He can make up stories left and right. But we actually got video of him going into the fertility clinic. So it's not like he just stops at making up a story. He goes through with it. And he's down there, making donations.
Now, she's 94,
I think.
Yeah, and he's 67, I think.
67, right.
And so but now go ahead.
You've got him on the site, though. I mean, you say that he's spending nearly $100,000 to go through the surrogate process. I mean, he, by all accounts, is serious about making this happen.
Yeah, and women are lining up, you guys. Women are calling him saying, I will be the surrogate for your child.
Are parents signing up to be the parents for his child?
Because somebody's going to need to.
That's what should happen.
But are they talking about harvesting an egg from Zsa Zsa while she lays there with her one leg? No, she's not going to contribute at all?
What do you think, Bean? She's laying there with one leg.
I'm trying to figure out how it's them having a kid if she's not contributing any of the DNA.
No, it's mostly just a surrogate mother, and I guess it would be kind of more of an adoption process. And he goes, look, I just want her to hold the baby's hand.
Well, she's not going to be alive in 9 months, Dax.
That's what I'm kind of worried about, you guys.
You should be worried about that. That's a given.
Look, she's lasted a lot longer than we thought she would. Oh. This guy is crazy.
And if you're interested in the baby's name, it would be Zsa Zsa if it's a girl and Prince Frederick Jr. if it's a boy.
F him so much.
That's fantastic.
And you also need to read up on Dr. Murray in the Michael Jackson case. And how
there's all kinds of stuff on the website.
He was telling the stripper that he really needed some sleep.
It's amazing.
What a world we live in. TMZ.com is there to chronicle it all for us, round the clock on the website. Check your local listings for a TV show near you. Dax, thanks for jumping on, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bye.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show, talking about NHL and NBA playoffs.
Players!
Stick around for that. Players look good. Players look real good, right?
Players!
It looked good in the first game, but they held on the second one, so it's tied up 1-1 the series right now against the Buffalo Sabres.
Man, why is hockey playoff so good?
Oh, there's playoff good hockey. Series. The best hockey, one of the best sports in the world, playing.
I agree.
Hockey.
I watched some of the Chicago-Vancouver over the weekend, too, and that was very entertaining hockey as well. Let's take a look at Showbiz Beat right now with Ralph Garman on the Kevin Amin Show. What's going on?
The Blackhawks beat the Flyers in the finals last year for the Cup.
I see.
So watching the Hawks go down 2-0.
Vancouver's awfully good.
Not lost.
They are good, yeah.
Or is it 3-0 now, isn't it?
I thought it was 2.
I don't think anyone's 3 games in, but maybe. King Sharks tied.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was a hell of a game. Was it Saturday?
Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night. All I care about, and because, I had some extra time on vacation to watch television, which I love to do. It's my favorite, one of my favorite pastimes.
Right.
All I care about now, the only thing I really am obsessed with, is extreme couponing. That's all that matters.
What? Extreme couponing extreme is the talk of the nation right
couponing.
Now.
Couponing!
I saw that, title of the show.
Yes! Come on!
It's the
now.
Greatest show ever.
It's not the greatest show ever.
No, it's not. But okay. It's a damn good show.
Extreme couponing.
Man, do they save money?
Talk about your instant savings. They coupon the crap out of that stuff.
How's that a show?
I'll tell you how it's a show. Guy goes in and buys $1,500 worth of toothpaste.
Why? What is he going to do with that?
He stacks it up in his basement. It has a wall of toothpaste in his house. This is like Hoarders meets some sort of discount programming. It's just fantastic.
They find glitches in the system or
yes.
something and score?
They go. They follow the weekly specials in the supermarket.
What channel is this on?
And then they get the coupons. They get stacks and stacks of newspapers and cut out all the coupons. And then they find a store that give you a double or triple your value on the coupon.
Right.
And $1,500 worth of toothpaste cost guy $3. Got pallets and pallets of toothpaste.
But you don't need
I'm like, yeah! And
you don't
cheering
need
for the guy. It looked like something getting ready for the apocalypse. Just,
what's happening?
Their homes are just filled with endless just boxes and boxes of products.
So it's Hoarders.
Yes, but people
don't pay for it.
Oh, but they kind of extreme couponing. That's all I know.
It's Hoarders meets Costco. But are they basically looking for loopholes in the language of the coupon?
No.
In other words, it doesn't say one per person or something like that, so they can exploit that as much as they want?
No, they use the coupons as they're fit, but they just use them to the fullest extent of the law.
How many episodes of this have you watched?
Three.
I was going to say 2 or 3 now.
I've been three episodes so far. I can't get enough of it.
What channel was extreme couponing on?
Good question. I think it's Discovery. I think it's Discovery.
Dear God.
We might have talked to someone about extreme
We might.
Because it's pretty fascinating stuff.
Because these people are as effed up as the Hoarders,
you
right?
Should see, my favorite part is the people who ring up the orders. Because they're just doing their job. And someone shows up with 4 shopping carts pulling in like a train. And they say, do you have any coupons? Oh, yeah. And they drop a phone book worth of coupons on them. And they're bleep, 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 bleep. They're just scanning all day long. And everyone gathers around. It's like Vegas watching people play a slot machine. People start gathering around. And a big cheer goes up when they get $1,400 worth of groceries for $8. Woo! Extreme couponing!
That is a terrible show.
Oh, it's so entertaining. All right.
It's going to be bigger than the UFC, Kevin. Look out.
That's please. Right. I might go pro. This weekend's hot movies at the box office. Rio, $40 million, made it number 1. Scream 4 was number 2 at the box office with just about $20 million in its debut. Hop was 3rd. Soul Surfer came in at number 4. And then Hannah was number 5. Arthur, Insidious, Source Code, The Conspirator, and Your Highness all rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Well, ladies, I hate to break it to you, but the Hoff is off the market.
Oh,
he's off the market?
So. Yeah, I heard him.
Apparently, Hoff has a new girlfriend, a blonde Welsh lady named Haley Roberts. Yeah. She's 31 years old, apparently quite the looker. Hoff met her during an audition for Britain's Got Talent last January.
She tried out, he was a judge?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hoff's hitting up the talent. Over there on Britain's Got Talent. You know where he debuted her? Where they went public with their relationship?
No.
So sad, Kevin, that you didn't run into him at Coachella this weekend.
He was out there? Are you kidding?
He was at the Coachella Valley
Music and Arts Festival with his blonde Welsh girlfriend, and everyone says they were making quite the erotic spectacle of themselves.
The Hoff loves to rock.
He does. How far is the hotel from the festival, dude?
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert? Do you know?
I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like. Where is there?
All right, no, the show's over.
It's over.
You don't really need to go anymore.
And when does the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Well,
yeah, it's past did, weekend in the afternoon. Yes.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
Yeah, come on down. We got them for you. Front row.
Today's celebrity.
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't think they even played this weekend, did they?
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I don't work the counter of the Marriott.
I'm going to guess tonight, yes.
Yeah, probably tonight.
Ralph, as you get into the celebrity birthdays, we have to discuss Patrick. Kevin Meanlister Patrick writes in. He is filing a complaint against Mybell for America Ferrara. Your thoughts, please.
Yeah,
I questioned that when I heard it.
I think she is attractive,
mm-hmm.
but we always say we save the Belle really for sort of the top echelon. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if America really is that hot.
So I should withdraw?
I think
Patrick wins in court?
I think Patrick wins in Belle court.
Well done, Patrick. Thank you for writing it.
It's another episode of Belle Court. America Ferrera is 27 years old today.
No Belle.
Melissa Joan Hart is 35 years old. Director Eli Roth.
Thanksgiving.
He's 39. Maria Bello is 44 years old. Eric McCormick's 48. What was that movie Maria Bello puts on her high school cheerleader outfit for Viggo Mortensen? So they can have like hot sex on the stairs. Was that The History of Violence?
I think that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Eric McCormick's 48, as is Conan O'Brien. Eric Roberts is 55 years old. 55 years old today. Rick Moranis.
Yeah, Rick.
It's 58, and James Woods is 64 years old. I'm Ralph Garman.
The Hoff loves to rock.
We know that, Dave.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. So I guess what you're saying, Kevin, is although you really, really partied hard at the Coachella weekend,
yes.
Now at least you can get lots of sleep because there's not NHL and NBA playoffs going on that you have to either attend or stay up late to watch on TV every single night of the week.
Yeah, it turns out that it's not going to be kind to my sleep, but it's an exciting time of the year.
You may not live till June.
Yeah.
Maybe what's happening here.
That's true.
Speaking of sports, of course, we're too cheap to have a sports guy of our own, so we borrow everybody else's. And there's none better than our friend Andrew Siciliano, who joins us on the phone right now. He's the host of The Final Score on FSN. And during the NFL season, back when there used to be such a sport, he is the host of The Red Zone on DirecTV. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Kev, if you went to a Kings game and took photos, would you remember taking the
photos? How dare you, sir? Well said.
Yes, I would, actually.
Okay. Are you at Mom and Dad's house? Andrew, is that where you are right now?
I decided to, in honor of the holiday, pass over going to game one of the Lakers, kind of, which they passed it over to and chose not to show up. So I am here ready to, as Alex said, to get my Manischewitz on.
Fantastic. All right, well, you brought it up, so let's start with the Lakers. I watched that game, and they didn't exactly come out with fire in their bellies. Not that New Orleans is a bad team, but the Lakers certainly should be able to beat them, as they did every time they played them this season, right?
They were 4-0 against them this year, and the games really weren't even close. You're so nice. They didn't have fire in their belly.
Yeah.
They freaking mailed it in.
They did.
They are 0-5 on Sunday afternoon home games. They do not play Sunday afternoon home games. And Phil has talked about this for like 2 years. So the team doesn't show up. They can't get out of bed on Sunday morning. He even made them show up an hour early yesterday, knowing this was going to happen. And by the way, Powell was late. I'm legitimately late. He not only didn't play well, but even with the get there 2 hours early, he was still late.
He was late with his 2 points in the fourth quarter, too.
Yes, he didn't show up. Right, it was like a Dodger game. He got there late and left early.
Yeah. But, Andrew, it's not as simple as these guys like to party on Saturday night, so they're always tired on Sundays, is it?
No, they're old. It's not like a young. It's not like they're a team full of 21-year-olds. They're not the Clippers. Not suggesting the Clippers have a partying issue. They're old guys. They're one of the oldest teams in the league. They just, for whatever reason, don't play well on Sundays, which is not really the reason they lost. They lost because New Orleans ran 20 pick and rolls. They couldn't defend them. Powell got stuck on Chris Paul way too many times. Powell didn't do a damn thing on the inside.
That was funny, by the way.
Bynum didn't do much on the inside. Kobe clanged his head. And the crowd was dead in the fourth quarter. Other than that, it was a great day.
I think I would have been dead as the crowd, too. What do you have to cheer about?
But it's gay. See, here's the deal, though. This team, as the garbage truck rolls by, I'm sitting on the porch, this team always says, we will flip the switch and find a way to win. And to the point where we in the media despise even using that phrase anymore. It's so cliched, it's tired beyond belief.
Right.
And the way they closed the regular season, it led you to believe, well, because they do it every other year, this is just par for the course.
Right.
Well, yesterday it wasn't par for the course.
Right,
yesterday
yeah.
they came out and they lost and they stunk.
But you also pointed out two interesting things yesterday, Andrew, in your Twitter feed. One is, you're not, if you're a Lakers fan, don't sweat yesterday.
I'm not.
In a week, people are going to look back on this game and not even remember it because it's not going to matter, right?
I think they will still win this series, and I'd be surprised if they didn't win the series in five games.
I now, do too, but I am a fan, and it is frustrating as hell to watch them. You know that that's going through their mind. They know they can beat them. They didn't care yesterday.
I don't think it's that they didn't care.
They didn't care.
Well, yeah,
I'm not asking for your opinion.
That's such an easy explanation, because look at all the other games. Even the teams that lost where you expected them to win, like take San Antonio. They
right.
cared. They didn't have Manu Ginobili, but they cared, and they lost. The Knicks and Celtics, the Bulls, for example. The Bulls were down double digits in the fourth quarter to a team they should destroy, the Pacers, and they were at home Saturday. But they cared. They kicked it into gear, and they won at the end. I think the Lakers cared.
I don't.
I think they did care. Their nonchalant attitude afterwards will lead you to believe they didn't. It's that they accept it when they do lose. They'll roll with it and say, eh, we'll get them next time, because they know that they're good enough
yeah.
to get them next time. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and it's
does.
Super frustrating as a fan.
It really totally makes sense. And I'll tell you this. It's so weird when you watch Kobe, because he's one of the greatest basketball players we've ever had the joy to watch.
And he had a great game yesterday.
And he had a great game yesterday. He never looks, to me anyway, he never looks like he's having any fun. And he also doesn't look, a lot of times out there, like he's super intense either. It almost seems like he's in some sort of a robot trance when he's out there playing.
Wait, have you seen his jaw when he gets super intense?
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Wednesday night when he
But I didn't see a lot of that yesterday. I did not see a lot of the Kobe jaw intensity yesterday.
You're right. He had the look on his face of, really, are we going through this?
Yes,
really,
that was the look on his face. Right, exactly.
I saw the Kobe jaw. What was
Never mind. I was trying to make a joke about Coachella.
You had to go there.
Yeah.
By the way, Kobe's jaw, I believe, and I'm not making this up, I don't know what the exact handle is, I believe Kobe's jaw has a Twitter feed. I don't know who runs it. And
that's funny.
Five followers. And if they have five, we just gave them five more. But someone follows me, I know.
That's funny.
Their name is Kobe's jaw.
All right, last Sweet. Comment on the NBA, and then we got to move on real quickly. Okay. And that is the other thing I learned from your Twitter feed yesterday that I did not know is sportsbook.com. And I know you're not a better, Andrew, but they no longer pick the Lakers to win at all. They've got the Heat with the best odds to win. Does that surprise you?
The Heat are now 2.5 to 1. The Lakers are 3.5 to 1, and that moved after yesterday's game. So, you know, gambling, it's always to try to get the most money on both sides. They're all kind of sucker bets. I still think the Lakers are the best bet, but I wouldn't have the Heat as number two. I'd have the Bulls. Not the Heat.
Yeah,
like
and,
the
they're and the Bulls are tied with L.A., I guess, tied for a second
right.
there. All right, you're not a big hockey fan, but any thoughts as we're a couple of games into all of the playoff series right now?
Actually, I've been watching a lot. I thought Jared Stahl got screwed. I don't think that was worthy of a one-game suspension, but granted, that's the last thing. You know, it's not the only suspension. Bobby Ryan got suspended for 2 games for the Ducks for jumping up and down. Like, you saw he was trying to kick a puck out from the corner, and he left his skates. Kevin, you know more about this.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
He left his skates and tried to jump on a dude's hand with his skates.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that brutal?
Yeah, that's ridiculous, of course.
Compare that to something. Is that like charging the mound with a baseball bat?
Yeah, easily. But you have to have the bat. Charging the mound without the bat, I mean, it's not even close. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, look, Drew Doughty, so we'll say this. Drew Doughty in Game 2, when people thought that he hasn't been the aggressor he needed to be.
Right.
And with the Kings, certainly, at least on the offensive end, just banged up, he stepped up and proved why people need to wake up, and if you're not watching the Kings and watching Drew Doughty and realizing that he might not be Blake Griffin or Kobe Bryant, but he deserves to be mentioned when it comes to absolute superstars in this town.
Maybe he's Derek Fisher in the playoffs. Maybe that's how he'll end up being remembered if he continues to play the way he has.
Except he's a baby. He's a young
kid.
He's
21. I think he just turned 21.
For him to be 21
and to be starting on a Canadian Olympic team last year, that's a big deal. And if we lived in a hockey town, that guy would be on more billboards.
It's a good series. The Kings and Sharks are 1-1, and they got two home games this weekend.
And let me add as a PS, Andrew, and you don't know this or not, but we get a lot of grief every time we have a professional athlete on this program because some people still want to believe there's a Kevin Bean curse, and once we talk to him, they'll never win again because we have had some bad experiences. But we did talk to Drew Doughty last week, and I'd like to just remind everybody that he had a great game of the season for him on Saturday night. So, and why don't we ever get the credit for that? Why are there no emails that say, hey, thanks for having Doughty on. You're partly responsible. That doesn't happen.
Does the curse work on us so by having me on, there'll be no NFL season in September?
I hope not. No, it doesn't work like that.
We sure hope not.
Andrew Siciliano hosts the final score on FSN. If and when there's football, you'll see him back on the Red Zone Direct TV. Have a great Passover week and an Easter week. Say hi to the fam. We'll talk to you soon, Andrew. Thank you.
I'm going to go hide the Afi Coleman for you guys.
Okay.
Ralph Garman is back from vacation. He's got another showbiz beat for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Last hour, we were recapping our Coachella weekends, and we heard there were a ton of celebrities, everybody from Paul McCartney to Bam Margera to Paris Hilton to Lindsay Lohan to Rihanna, Shaun White. They were all out there. But Ralph just told us minutes ago that David Hasselhoff showed up at Coachella with his new young hot girlfriend. So we got David on the phone to find out how his experience was. David, hello.
Hey, guys. Kevin and Bean, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm great.
Where are you?
Hey, when's the next band go on here at Coachella, you know? When the next band goes live, I'm kind of waiting.
No, the festival is over. The festival ended Sunday night with Kanye West's performance.
Kanye West was on?
Yeah. Yeah, he was on Sunday night, right.
That would have been off the hook.
Yeah.
Well, seeing that.
Did you not? You missed that? What were you doing Sunday night?
Yeah, I had a beverage or two.
Oh, no.
I ended up sleeping in my car. And I must have missed the whole thing.
Really? Because that happened to Kevin, too. What are the chances?
How dare you?
Really? I couldn't find my car. I was walking around for a bit.
No, that was me.
I had to recharge my cell phone.
That was
right.
Me.
But then my car talks to me, too. It said, you need to recharge your cell phone.
That was you.
Coach J. Fantastico.
Now, Hasselhoff.
Coach J. Fantastico.
Right. Why do you go to a place like Coachella? Are you into the new rock music that the kids like?
Yeah, the hop loves to rock.
Who was your favorite band? Who was your favorite band at Coachella?
My favorite band was Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Well,
they didn't play at all. They weren't playing.
Why do I hear wolves? What's going on there?
The place is empty. It's just some scavenging wolves looking for food, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that an indication that the festival's over?
I don't know where she is, by the way.
Oh, you lost her?
Yeah.
Oh.
I tried to smuggle her into the event in a backpack.
Okay. That didn't happen either. That was another crazy King of Mexico story.
I don't know where she got to. I put down the backpack and somebody took it.
That didn't happen either.
Someone stole it.
Yeah,
I got my canteen. That's all I need.
Oh, no.
Okay,
no,
you
no,
shouldn't.
No,
don't
no.
drink, though, David. You've had enough.
You got to stay hydrated. It's hot out here.
Right, I know.
Oh, you're drinking water?
Oh, no, vodka.
No.
Okay, that's not the way to stay hydrated.
Oh, that's better.
That does not keep you hydrated.
Yeah.
You okay?
So how far is the Marriott from here? I need a room. I want to lie down and take a nap.
Well, I don't know. Walking? Do you have a car?
Oh, this is a mess.
Yeah. Oh, no. Here we go again, David.
Oh, the Hoff loves to rock.
That's right.
The Hoff needs to stay off the liquor, seriously.
I want to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're not playing
didn't
at all.
Play.
The Hoff loves to rock.
Right.
Oh, man.
But it's a mess.
It is a mess.
I'm all right.
Okay.
There's a wolf.
Yeah. Sounds like there's a lot of them.
He's eating my girlfriend.
Okay. Well, maybe you should hang the phone up and go help.
Yeah, no, I think she likes it.
Okay.
Average. Oh, she's a mess. I gotta go.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Sounds smooth.
That was natural.
I'm a professional broadcaster.
Just like conversation. That was uncanny. Wow. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, let you know what people are going to see this weekend. And Rio was the big hit. $40 million it made.
Wow.
Is this the one about that girl that's dancing in the sand? Is that the movie? Or
dancing in the sand?
It's an old Duran Duran song. Her name is Rio and she dances in the sand.
Put it in the file.
Come on. Coachella, is they playing it?
Oh,
timely?
My God.
Hello? this thing on?
Unfortunately, yes.
Scream 4 was number 2, made just a little under $20 million in its debut weekend. Hop was 3rd, and then Soul Surfer and Hannah rounded out the top 5. Arthur, Insidious, Source Code, The Conspirator, and Your Highness rounding out the top 10. Bad weekend for Stephen Moyer from True Blood. He was behind the wheel during the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race there in Long Beach for the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he crashed his car, rolled the vehicle.
This is the one who's dating Anna Paquin, right?
Yeah. I think they're married, aren't they?
Married, are they? Okay.
Yeah. So he wasn't injured during the collision, amazingly.
Because she's a fairy. We protect him. But compared to
File.
Rio...
File.
Really?
File.
In the shadow of Rio?
Yes, in the
Come
shadow
on.
Of Rio. Despite the crash, he got the best qualifying time. Scored the
what?
Scored the pole position for Saturday's race. And was given a $15,000 check for Racing for Kids, which is his charity of choice. Kids don't need to be racing, really.
That sounds dangerous.
It does sound dangerous. Put them in a car seat or something. It's much
Last
safer.
Year, he drove for smoking for pregnant women. I don't know what's going on with him.
Nicolas Cage is more of a jail cell protector. Was popped Saturday morning in New Orleans after partying apparently all Friday night. Showed up drunk at a tattoo parlor. Have you seen the footage, by the way? They've got security cam footage of he and his wife battling at the tattoo parlor.
I don't
want to
see that.
Well,
is it ugly or is it just them yelling?
It's just them yelling.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there was some confusion as to where they lived. Apparently, he was so drunk, he didn't know what house was his.
Well, who hasn't been there?
An argument ensued. A cab driver called cops. They showed up, and he dared them to arrest him. And turns out, when you dare the police to arrest you, sometimes they're more than happy to oblige. And that's what happened.
And how cool of the police officer to say, look, I can see what's going on here. There's
Twice.
No reason for us to take you in.
Twice
just go home.
They said
just go
that.
Home and sleep it off.
You know what? You can just go home. It's fine.
You don't
no,
have
why
to
don't
tell-
you arrest me?
You don't have to tell me that more than once. I'm gone.
No, seriously,
right.
Nick. Go home. No,
and the wife
why don't you
said
arrest
she was-
me?
The wife said she was fine. She didn't want him to be arrested.
She said there was no violence.
Home.
She didn't want to press any charges.
Wow.
No, he just wouldn't have it. He wouldn't have it.
Does it sound to you like he didn't think they would? I mean, what's the...
I think he was just drunk and belligerent.
Yeah.
But he got bailed out by Dog the Bounty Hunter, so it all has a happy ending. It's true.
Playing Mad Libs over there.
He bailed him out.
For reals?
For reals.
You don't see that every day.
You know, I love the collectibles. Up for auction, just announced this week. A personal letter from John Lennon to Paul McCartney a year after the Beatles broke up, in which John pretty much calls him a bitch.
Dude.
Paul sent him a note, apparently, and John was replying in this letter where he says, I was reading your letter and wondering what middle-aged cranky Beatle fan wrote it, he says about Paul. He goes on to chastise Paul and the other two Beatles for the way they treated Yoko. He said, but he wasn't ashamed of the Beatles because he said, I started it all. Oh, snap.
Wow.
Letters expect to sell for $100,000.
100 grand.
Also up for auction, by the way, is the handwritten lyrics to Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds from the Sgt. Pepper album. John Lennon's handwritten lyrics, expecting $200,000.
Wow.
For that. Not too shabby. U2's Spider-Man musical is coming back. You know, they shut it down for a while to sort of retool it. Apparently, they've changed up some of the cast. They've changed the plot, the script.
This is a story that you've read every week for two, three years
now.
Well,
they were working on it when they were doing the previews.
Right.
But it was in such disarray, they actually had to shut the production down.
Okay, is this the first time that's happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Bono and The Edge wrote two new songs for it. They've written a new script, changed the cast, and a new director. But other than that, it was in good shape.
Wow.
The revamped Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark begins on May the 12th, and then the new official opening night is June the 14th, they say. So if they can just keep anyone from dying between now and then, they'll be in good shape.
It's setting the bar pretty low.
Yes, well,
just don't kill anyone.
You gotta shoot for something. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor James Woods is 64 years old today. Rick Moranis from Ghostbusters and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, that's right.
What was his Darth Vader character name on that?
Dark Helmet.
Dark Helmet, that's right.
I love that Beer Mug has been in the back of the room for 5 hours today. Nothing to say but space balls right on the tip of his tongue.
That brings him up. Rick also featured on Extreme Couponing this weekend, I think.
That's true.
Oh, such a good show.
I think that's true.
By the way, I stand corrected. TLC. TLC is the network that carries Extreme Couponing. Watch it. You won't be sorry.
You promise? Is that a money-back guarantee?
I promise you.
All right.
Boy, do they save money.
Speaking of corrections and information, we may all owe a big debt of, not debt, but an apology to Gary Busey from Celebrity Apprentice.
Why?
Because it turns out the word cowboy is a Southwestern expression that real cowboys use with each other when describing each other.
That's not true.
A cowboy's got to wear a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, and that is an actual phrase used by actual cowboys.
Wait, it's possible he was telling the truth?
It's in the Urban Dictionary, and it was posted there in 2008. That's how long that phrase has been around. So he actually could have called John Rich a cowboy because he was wearing a cowboy hat.
Now, first of all, thanks to Kevin and me, listener Jake, for turning us on to that information. But second of all, wouldn't it have made more sense if Gary Busey had said it's a cowboy term rather than try to make it sound like it was the inner circle of the Dallas Cowboys football team?
Maybe he heard it around the used around that stadium by those guys. Maybe that's where he heard it from. But apparently it's been in the lexicon for years.
Don't buy it. I don't buy it.
It's in the Urban Dictionary. Cowboy. Wait, are you just going to magically come up with cowboy?
It sure seemed unlikely to me.
Why wouldn't he make that? No, I called him my boy or good boy or something. But to go to cowboy, that's a reach.
That wasn't.
And there's documentation now that says it's real.
Here's the usage sentence that they give as an example, Kevin. So I started dating this cowboy. I love his truck, and he has a kick-ass cowboy hat.
Oh, F you.
Come on, cowboy.
By the way, what's the point of cowboy? It doesn't save you any time from cowboy.
You don't have time to say the whole word cowboy.
Cowboy saves you that much?
Yeah, saves you the ow.
It does save you the ow.
So
Gary Busey may not be lying, is what you're telling
me. That's what I'm telling you.
And it was off camera, so we don't have the tape to look at to see what he actually said. Is it possible he said cowboy?
Yes.
No.
Because to me, it looked like he was just, that was a Hail Mary pass coming up with that in the boardroom.
He was treading water.
But you don't come up with that. Even Gary Busey doesn't come up with cowboy just off the top of his head. I'm campaigning to get him put back on the show. I want him reinstated. Reinstated on Celebrity Apprentice.
And fire Star Jones while you're at it, while you're tickering.
Bitch. We got to get the meat on the show, too. We got to get Lois on the show.
I love the meat.
We better get him soon because he's going
to
die.
I'm going to need that piece of tape where Bean screams, oh, I love the meat. We're going to need to get rid of it.